is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Taco Bell. The Glendale apartment complex destroyed by fire a week ago Sunday will soon be leveled. Bruce Morton has more.
The Spanish Gate apartments cannot be saved. That's why the complex is being demolished. The demolition work began about 10 this morning with the operation consisting of a crane removing debris and the guy spraying the area targeted by the crane with a fire hose. Glendale Fire Chief A.J. Johansson says his department's top priority is getting the adjacent apartment complex fit for occupation, something he hopes will happen by Monday. Bruce Morton, Glendale.
It's that time of year again as the National Western Stock Show comes to town. Officials figure that an improving economy and a solid lineup of events could mean another record-setting year. Katie Christensen, a spokeswoman with the National Western Stock Show, says there's a good chance attendance will surpass last year's record turnout of 641,000.
We're very excited coming into this year's show at this point. We're ahead in ticket sales and are still showing a lot of interest. So we're ready for a great show and we're looking forward to another record-breaking year.
Christensen says cattle owners at the stock show are not panicking over the national concerns surrounding mad cow disease. Fort Carson says at least four of the soldiers who were killed in a Black Hawk helicopter crash yesterday in Iraq were from the base, although no names have been released yet. Witnesses in Iraq say the helicopter was shot down by a rocket and then fell to the ground. The helicopter was used for medical evacuations and had a large Red Cross on each side of it. Fort Carson has had 36 deaths in Iraq since the war started. The numbers of those killed in yesterday's crash have not been added to that list yet. The Pentagon has declared Saddam Hussein a prisoner of war. That means the captured Iraqi leader is receiving all the rights due him under the Geneva Convention. Pentagon spokesman Air Force Major Michael Shavers said Saddam's new status doesn't change the conditions under which U.S. forces are holding him. Saddam was found hiding in a so-called spider hole and captured by U.S. forces in his hometown of Tikrit last month. U.S. officials have said that he is being interrogated at an undisclosed location inside Iraq. An arraignment was held today for the alleged mastermind of a plot to smuggle in shoulder-fired missiles and dirty bombs into the U.S. through Newark, New Jersey. Steve Sandberg reports.
Suspected British arms dealer Hamant Lakhani appeared in Newark federal court wearing a dark green prison jumpsuit, gray and white hair tattered, as he pleaded not guilty to charges he attempted to smuggle into the U.S. a shoulder-fired missile to use against American airliners. Attorney Henry Klingerman says Lakhani was set up.
The government acted as the buyer. The government acted as the seller. The government posed as the terrorist.
U.S. Attorney Christopher Christie.
Let's make this very simple and very clear. Mr. Lakhani is a significant arms dealer.
No trial date has been set. Steve Sandberg, Newark.
The national terror threat level has been lowered. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge announced today that the threat assessment level has been dropped back to the mid-level range of yellow. Ridge says that increased security and vigilance can disrupt terrorist plots. He said he remains very concerned that terrorists are still looking at commercial airliners as devices for possible attacks.
One of the most persistent and consistent reports that we have from multiple sources, the continued interest by Al-Qaeda to use aircraft, but particularly commercial aircraft.
Ridge cited consistent intelligence on that front. Terrorists hijack four U.S. commercial airliners to carry out the 9/11 attacks on the U.S. Orange indicates a high risk of terror attack in the U.S. Yellow indicates an elevated terror threat. Jerry William Jones, a suspected quadruple killer, is hospitalized in Tennessee. Police say he shot himself after officers forced his vehicle off a roadway last night. The confrontation ended a 17-hour manhunt. Jones is suspected of killing his estranged wife's parents, her sister, and his 10-month-old daughter in Georgia. Three young girls, also family members that he allegedly kidnapped, were found unharmed. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. At this hour, the Dow is down more than 65 points. NASDAQ up just over 8. The S&P 500 is down over a point and a half. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are at home tonight to host the Utah Jazz. It's the first time this season the two teams have met. Nuggets coming off their win over the Lakers on Wednesday. Colorado Avalanche couldn't hold on in overtime last night and lost 4-3 to the Nashville Predators. Avs will be back in action tomorrow in Dallas against the Stars. That game starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, savor the three real cheeses you'll find in the new cheesy bean and rice burrito. It's tasty and filling. When you want quality, think outside the bun. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. It's the new year. How about a new you?
Aspen Grove, the fabulous open-air shopping center located at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton, is sponsoring the New Year, New You Makeover for one lucky man or woman or a couple. Winners will receive new hairstyles from Avalon Day Spa, makeup by the professionals at Origins, and a dinner for two on Valentine's Day for your reveal.
And that's not all. Each winner will receive a $1,000 shopping spree at Aspen Grove.
To enter, write 50 words or less on why you deserve this makeover. Include your photo. Drop this off at the Aspen Grove Management Office or the J. Crew Store.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. Call them at 303-794-0640. 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
No purchase necessary. Employees and family members of KNRC and Aspen Grove Management are ineligible. Qualifiers will be chosen at random. Entries must be received by February 6th at the Aspen Grove Management Office or Aspen Grove J. Crew Store. For complete rules, stop by the Aspen Grove Management Office.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by AutoZone, and everything else off freeway seems to be clear. Had a report of an accident southbound I-25 right around Downing. Not there, but you are going to see plenty of slowing. Starting at Downing, heading on down southbound I-25 at Colorado. Northbound I-25 backed up starting at Evans, so watch for that stretch. Don't take chances with an old weak battery this winter. If your car's battery is more than 3 years old, get to AutoZone for a new Duralast battery today. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sunshine through the weekend thanks to high pressure over our area, topping out at an above average 54 degrees for a high. Our average this time of year, 43. Later on tonight, a clear starlit night down to 27. Sunshine continues for tomorrow, 55, and just a few clouds for Sunday, 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under sunny skies, it's 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:06, 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Friday, fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. The focus today is the National Western Stock Show. That's the theme of the show, National Western Stock Show, Rodeo, and Horse Show. And
laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught.
From the Denver Press Club. It's a fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. We're focusing on the stock show, which opens tomorrow formally, and a party tonight. And I wonder if you can actually hear me because I'm not. Is this coming through, do you think? Because I'm not hearing it in my head, in my earphones. Okay. All right. Can you hear me? I guess that's a no.
We're on the air. Yeah.
We are on the air. Okay. I am told that we are on the air. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We have been having some technical difficulties, which I think we're in the process of working out. I'm trying to get an indication. Joe, are we on the air? Are we live? Okay, I guess we are live. I'm not hearing it through my earphones, but we're working on that. Okay. Well, with me, because the focus of the program today is the stock show, which opens tomorrow, the National Western Stock Show, Rodeo and Horse Show. It opens tomorrow officially. There's going to be a party tonight. The theme of the program this month, and we do our shows once a month live from the Denver Press Club. Stop down if you are in the neighborhood. We're right across from the Denver Athletic Club. We're on Glen Arm between 13th and 14th. And with me is everybody's favorite singer, Lanny Garrett. Lanny, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us today. Talk to me about what happens when you transmogrify and become your alter ego, Patsy Decline.
Enid, I invented Patsy Decline as just a lark about 12 years ago because the stock show was coming
at
to
the
town.
Because the stock show was coming?
Because the stock show was coming, and I was working in this club, and I just thought it would be fun for a week just to kind of do a country character. And it took off, and people started lining up, and I've been doing it every stock show season for about 12 years now.
Where have you been doing it?
Well, I had a home at the Denver Buffalo Company, and it closed down last year, so I didn't do the show last year. It was the first year I haven't done it, and we're reopening out at the Westin in Westminster. They have a special pavilion building that makes a perfect nightclub for me, and we're going to be opening next Saturday night with a
where is? Give me the address of the Westin in Westminster. How do people get to it?
It's real easy to get to. It's you just get on 36th, like the Boulder Turnpike, and it's about 12 minutes from I-25 if you're coming from Denver. It's really not that far
away.
You
get on 36, and then where do you go?
You go toward Boulder to Church Ranch Road and get off north, and you can see it from the highway. It's at about 12 minutes from Denver, actually.
12 minutes from downtown Denver. Yeah, and when does this actually begin? When do you become officially Patsy Decline?
I transform into Patsy next Saturday night is opening night, and we'll be playing Fridays and Saturdays through March.
What happens when you become Patsy Decline?
Well,
We don't know. This is all very. We're here to the fans today.
We're getting. But it's really.
When you become Patsy Decline, yes. You're actually. It's a takeoff on Patsy Cline. It's a stand by your man.
It's not a takeoff on Patsy Cline. It's a spoof of all the like 1950s country singers with big hair, and it's every cliche I could think of from plastic surgery to a million husbands to being in rehab, and it's. I don't do any Patsy Cline because I didn't want to have people confuse me with that. I just thought it was a great, funny name, Patsy Decline. And she's sort of a legend in her own mind. She's kind of a fading Western singer, but she doesn't really know it, And it's just so much fun. It's sort of the alter ego is the body side in every woman that we can't let out because people would criticize us. I get to let it all out. I can say things to people that you can't even believe I can say. And
Well, give us a hint. What are you going to say to people?
It's so funny. Well, I can tell them that I could insult their clothes, and I can just tease them, and it's just so much fun because you can ad lib and play with the audience, and it's just so much fun. And one of my things is I had a really bad spell of drinking, and because my husband died, and it just got to the point where after one drink I could feel it, and after three drinks anybody could.
I think a country western is one of the few genres where going into rehab is actually a career move.
Exactly.
I mean, there were stories about stars who actually didn't have to go into rehab and who did it in order just to generate sympathy and to generate a larger audience.
That's who Patsy is. It's like every country cliche you could think of. And then the the fun side of it, too, is I have a fabulous country band. So even though we tease about country music, I got a review once that, said, if you love country music, you'll love Patsy Cline. If you hate country music, you'll love Patsy Cline. we tease about it, but we also have a fabulous pedal steel band.
I happen to love country music. You're typically a jazz singer. You sang at Dusty Saunders' 50th anniversary party at the Rocky Mountain News, and you were just great. It was such a great treat to hear you. If you're just tuning in, my guest is Lanny Garrett, also known during the time of the Stock Show as Patsy D. Cline. More as we continue. We are live from the Denver Press Club. I'm Enid Goldstein. The time is 12:21. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Call the host you don't agree with. Keep both sides alive and well on AM 1150 KNRC.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
Talk to Greg Dobbs.
Okay, here's real justice. Unmitigated, genuine, obvious, don't argue with me justice. This guy in Tucson yesterday goes up to a Salvation Army setup, and the woman who is volunteering is in a wheelchair herself. She has cerebral palsy. She's 60 years old. This guy comes up, grabs the pot. She struggles with him. He runs with the pot, crosses the street, gets hit by a car.
There is justice out there.
Boy, yes.
Greg Dobbs, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1150 KNIC.
Music, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all the way from the great state of West Virginia, Miss Patsy D. Cline.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Listen to Lanny Garrett. Sing along with yourself. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month, and the focus of this show is the Stock Show, which starts officially tomorrow. We've been having some technical difficulties, so excuse us, but that's what happens when you're doing live radio. With us right now is Lanny Garrett, who's everybody's favorite singer in Denver. And during the time of the Stock Show, she morphs herself into a whole other persona, and that would be Patsy D. Cline. And again, you're going to be at the Westminster Westin Hotel starting when?
Next Saturday night at 8 o'clock. In Westminster.
Okay, and what, just on the weekends or during
Fridays and Saturdays through the end of March.
Fridays and Saturdays through the end of March. You want to give us a little bit of Patsy D. Cline? What happens when you become Patsy?
Well, I kind of start talking like this, and I get kind of, I just talk to the audience, and I'll sing songs like, "Well, I couldn't live a single day without you. Actually, on second thought, I could. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, baby, you're the greatest. Well, at any rate, at least you're pretty good." But it helps when I have a band.
Do you write the material?
You know, I write the comedy. I write a lot of the
comedy.
And I hear silly things and incorporate it and...
the comedy is started out very spontaneously. I didn't know who this character was going to be. And she, honestly, I feel, Enid, that sometimes I've been channeled. That she just
came. Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like you're at the faded Rock and Roll Hall of Fame channel or
exactly.
Here.
Exactly. You know,
it's such a rich mine of material.
It is.
Do you actually go to the sock show?
Yes. Yes.
Do you like it? I love it. I went last year.
I absolutely adore it.
No
one even. That's kind of what inspired me in the first place.
Yeah.
I call the show The Decline and Fall of Country Western Civilization.
And when you're not being Patsy Decline, tell us about what else you're doing.
I'm sorry.
When you're not being Patsy Decline, tell us about what else you're doing.
I'm so lucky because I love music so much, and I have a funk disco band where we wear all the whole glitter and bell bottoms, and I have a jazz band, and I have a big band, and we just did a Gershwin show, and I'm just so lucky because I just get to do music. I'm more of an entertainer. I always came at it from that point of view more than I wanted to be a jazz singer or anything. I love being an entertainer.
Did you always know you were going to be doing this?
You knew that. You know the answer. Yes,
I think you did. But it's not an easy road that you have pursued, Lanny. I mean, being a musician.
No.
What do they say? How does a musician make a living? He's got a girlfriend with a day job or something. I mean, there's a better way of saying it, but that's general.
Yeah. What do you call a drummer without a girlfriend? Homeless.
Homeless, right.
Yeah. And it's it has been a hard road. I've been very lucky in Denver, though, that I've been around for a long time, and I've persevered. It was the only thing I ever wanted to be since the time I was a molecule.
But you're so lucky because you got to do all these different genres of music,
mm-hmm.
not simply, you can, and the audience accepts it of you. There are lots of entertainers who are trapped within a certain designation or a certain genre, and if they try to amble out of that genre, the audience doesn't accept it. And
mm-hmm.
here the audience not only accepts it of you, but probably expects it of you.
It's really been nice because you don't get bored with one thing. You know, when you do a show for 3 months, then you're like, okay, then I can move on and do the big band show. And it's I'm very blessed.
Would you ever do anything like a night with Lanny Garrett, like a Broadway one-person, a kind of Broadway one-person where you are singing all different kinds of music in the show and there's some sort of a storyline, something that might have come to you along the lines of what has come to you on Patsy Decline? Has that ever been a thought that you've considered?
I've thought of all sorts of different ways to do that. I actually have a new character I was thinking of called Bette Midlife. I haven't quite developed her.
You're going to play the bathhouses
queens out there. Steal that name. I'll be very pissed. Yeah, so I'm working on that. But I do cabaret shows where it's we can hear.
We can hear.
We've
Joe.
We've been plugged in.
Joe, we can hear. I don't know. They haven't noticed us. We can hear. Oh, isn't
we're
that
so
great?
Happy.
Yeah, we're really
the
thrilled. They have no idea what's
idea
going
what
on here.
The difference is made.
Yeah, big difference. All right, so Betsy, Bette Midlife, are you going to watch her? Are you going to? Do you? Who are your favorite entertainers?
Bette
she's great.
She's been a huge inspiration to me because she's not one genre of music. You can't pigeonhole. What music would you say she does? You don't. She's an entertainer, and that's always what I've wanted to be. I like telling jokes. I like singing poignant songs that are. I like the acting part of it. I guess that's what it is, Enid. I really like the being the actress in the song, where you do a song and there's a story. I pick songs because of the story.
Well, that's what they say about really successful singers, that they can put the song across, they can tell the story. What does it take to do that? A certain empathy?
I think so. I think it's just like going down deep, and if you're singing a love song or a song about loss, that we've all been there, and then it's really wonderful when you look out in the audience and you see that the people are reacting that way. Then I feel I've accomplished my job.
You have a new CD out. What's the title? And we've been using it as some of the music coming into and out of.
The Patsy Decline CD, actually, it's a CD we recorded live, and it's a lot of the songs we do in the show. I didn't record a lot of the comedy monologues on there because I wanted to keep those fresh, but it's a lot of the songs we do in the show. And that's what you've been playing, isn't it? The Patsy Decline?
I think it's from it's the CD that you
around.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's it.
And any other CDs that you have out that are fairly recent?
Well, the newest one that I have out just came out at Christmas, and it's called Double Back. And actually what it is, in 1984 I made an album, back when people made albums, not
mm-hmm.
CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned the album and two projects I made in album format into a CD. So it's two projects, but they're sort of vintage Lanny. So that just came out. It's called Double Back.
When you perform, you know, we've been going through all these technical problems today to do this live remote, and you've talked about what happens when you perform. There are all kinds of things that can come up that are unexpected, wholly unanticipated. You just have to vamp with it. What's the worst moment that ever happened for you as a performer?
Oh, we've had many of those. Personally, one of the worst moments was I was doing a show working with Bill Cosby, and he went way over his first show. So the people coming to the second show had been waiting in line to get in and were very crabby by the time they finally got in. It was about 45 minutes after the second show was supposed to start. So I was the opening act. So they were crabby, and it was a dinner show. And I remember being in the middle of a poignant ballad, and the guy in the front row reached up, grabbed my skirt, pulled down, and said, "Excuse me, can you tell the waitress to get me a fork?" That was one of the worst moments.
You know, there is a good story about a fork. A waitress was waiting on Groucho Marx, and she said, "Would you like a fork?" And he looked at me, and he said, flicking his cigar, "Your place or mine."
Oh, that's good. That's something you could say. In fact, that's going in the show.
You could have used that line. My guest, if you're just tuning in, is Lanny Garrett, and her other persona, she is Patsy Decline, inspired by the stock show. And which starts formally tomorrow, but there's a media party tonight. And I think there's a luncheon that kicks it off, too. Isn't they call it the Boots Luncheon or something like that?
No, I don't know.
And I can't do that because I'm right here at the Denver, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. But I love the stock show. I just think it is so much fun.
It's fun. It's like a carnival or something to me, a Western carnival.
Why do you like it, Lanny?
I've always been attracted to anything that's a different culture than the way I grew up. I grew up in Chicago, so different than any 4-H or animal type thing.
Where in Chicago did you grow up? Because I grew up across the lake in Michigan, Benton Harbor.
Oh, I grew up Chicago in Elmhurst,
okay,
Illinois. And so it's like going almost.
Did you know Hillary Clinton?
No, I didn't.
You could do a Hillary Clinton character, couldn't you?
I love Hillary Clinton.
I do too. I think she'd be a good president. I think she ought to run. And give George W. I renamed Dickie because I think it describes him better. So that I can say there are two dicks in the White House.
I think she's a brilliant woman. So,
you grew up in Chicago, and then how'd you make your way to Denver?
It was one of those get in a van with a boyfriend back then, you know, when you're young. You know, let's travel around the United States. And I came through here, and I just thought it was so pretty. And, I wasn't a singer at the time. I was too shy to be a singer. So I thought I'd move here and, you know, maybe go to school. And I couldn't do it. I had to be an entertainer.
Were you trained? Did you take lessons from somebody?
No.
You just found it on your own? You did?
No, I've never taken lessons.
How did you get started?
I probably should do it now.
How did you get started? Did you just find some other people and some people to play and you would sing? Is that how it works?
I actually went up to a quite well-known singer in town before you got here, Enid. His name's Ron Henry, and he was pretty well established. He used to be a ball player, and he was singing and had a great reputation. I used to go see him sing, and I actually just lied to him. I just went up to him and said, "I'm a singer. If you ever need anybody, let me know." And he had wanted to put three women behind him as a background group, had these two fabulous black singers, and me. And I was just the young, stupid white girl in the middle. I didn't know how to sing or be on stage.
Did he realize that you didn't know how to sing?
Hiring me, he did, but it didn't matter.
Did he not even audition you?
No, I guess he liked my look. He had the other two singers were so strong, and he was strong. And it worked. I started learning how to do it.
My mother was a really good singer, and I think I always wanted to be a singer, except I never really tried to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to try and take some singing lessons. Diane Reeves recommended somebody to take lessons from. She is fabulous. She was here. She was a guest, and she was on one of our Live from the Press Club shows.
She's one of my heroes.
And is she nominated again for Grammy? She's won twice, I believe. And I think she's up for another one. I think I read that. And it's funny, I was picking up the paper and I was looking. It was right before the holidays. And there she was appearing in Carnegie Hall in New York. And I think she was also over the New Year. I think she told me she was going to be with the Berlin Philharmonic. And when they opened up the Gehry Concert Hall, the Disney Concert Hall that Frank Gehry designed in Los Angeles, she opened it with singing the Star Spangled Banner. And I think she told me she also books the Hollywood Bowl. So she
is a wonderful career.
It is a wonderful career. So I said, can you recommend a good singing teacher? And she did.
Oh, good.
And
I'm calling you because I'm kind of ready. I'd kind of like to do that now.
But you don't think you need it now.
You know, I never came at it from the singing point of view. And I thought, you know, maybe I could maybe get better.
Well, the thing about singing teachers is you learn all that voice production mm-hmm. stuff. So how to
that
keep how to keep the instrument tuned and mm-hmm. moving. But I think what you do, I listened to you. I was really transfixed at Dusty's party, the 50th anniversary. And you were just great. And I love the repertoire that night because I love the standards and I love all that jazzy stuff. Can you regale us with a few seconds of something? I know it's really unfair because you don't have
a group.
But as we go out and go into our news break.
I think we sang for Dusty, if I can find a key. It's very clear, our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day.
No, I think that's wonderful. I don't think you need singing lessons at all, Lenny Garrett.
Thank you.
Miss Patsy Decline in another incarnation. Thank you so much for joining us.
The Westin in Westminster.
Saturday night. Is there a cover? Is there a minimum?
For reservations, which are, what is it, 410-5000, and you can also have dinner in the beautiful restaurant there. It's called O's Steak and Seafood Restaurant, and it's quite beautiful.
You're going to have a wonderful evening. What time are the shows?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, one show a night?
With an intermission, so it's you get your money's worth.
You get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Two shows?
It's from about 8 till 10:30, something like that. So
wow.
Two-hour shows. It's like a theater production.
Lenny Garrett, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us at the Press Club. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club, where we're focusing on the stock show. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Crews have started the demolition of the Spanish Gate apartment building that was destroyed by fire recently. One woman died in the blaze. 40 families lost their homes. The demolition effort is difficult because of the surrounding buildings, and it'll probably take 10 days to fully level that building. At least four of the soldiers that died when a Black Hawk helicopter crashed in Iraq yesterday were from Fort Carson. Witnesses say the helicopter was hit by a rocket and then went down. The helicopter was used for medical evacuations and reportedly had a large Red Cross on each side. Prior to yesterday's crash, 36 Fort Carson soldiers had been killed in Iraq. Officials with the National Western Stock Show figure that this year could be another record-breaking year. Advanced ticket sales are already up over last year when a record 641,000 people attended the stock show. This year's National Western Stock Show begins tomorrow. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-TOGO-ANG. That's 1-800-TOGO-ANG. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News time is 12:37.
Frankly, it's difficult to imagine that a breed of men as fierce and warlike as the Scots ever learned to embrace the niceties of a civilized life, much less advance them. I mean, there they were, traipsing around the wee glen in nothing but their bagpipes. And next thing you know, they've invented distilled liquor. Now it's Sean Connery, the Highland Games. Why, they're even making stained glass right here in Colorado. Beautiful stained glass. Extraordinary, really, that everyone can appreciate. Even men like myself. Real men, who don't feel the need to toss around telephone poles in a pathetic attempt to compensate for the notion that their forefathers wore skirts.
English swine. Did you not see Braveheart? Hi, this is Martin Faith, the owner of Scottish Stained Glass. If you want to make a unique statement in your home, think leaded glass. It's private, beautiful to look at, and surprisingly affordable, with prices starting at just $145, including insulation. For a free in-home consultation, call us at 303-766-3811. 303-766-3811.
KNRC News time is 12:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertson. Still seeing slow traffic southbound I-25 starting at Downing into the Colorado project. Also a northbound I-25 backs up to Yale. That's just due to a lot of problems we've had lately in the northbound to Evans I-25 at Colorado area, so just be aware of that. Other than that, a pretty quiet drive around the metro area. Let Albertsons help you trim up from 2004 with Lean Cuisine, now 50% off, and boneless, skinless chicken breasts only $1.88 a pound through January 13th. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sunshine through the weekend thanks to high pressure over our area, topping out at an above average 54 degrees for a high. Our average this time of year, 43. Later on tonight, a clear starlit night down to 27. Sunshine continues for tomorrow, 55, and just a few clouds for Sunday, 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over a dollar a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC Market Watch.
The government is lowering the terror alert level, but that's doing little to lift airline stocks today. Delta is flat. Continental is losing 19 cents. JetBlue is down a dollar. United parent UAL, which trades over the counter, is adding a penny. The Dow Jones Industrial Average losing 67, but the NASDAQ is tacking on 6, adding to its nice week. The S&P 500 is off 3. Heavy volume once again. 1.1 billion shares traded at the New York Stock Exchange, 1.7 billion over at the NASDAQ. Five blue chips are hitting their best levels in a year. They are Boeing, Citigroup, Disney, Intel, and J.P. Morgan. AT&T is losing almost a dollar after Deutsche Bank told clients to sell shares of Ma Bell today. And the nation's largest packaging company is closing four plants in Indiana, California, Texas, and Kentucky. Smurfit Stone is down 8 cents. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club, but we've had some technical problems today, but I think we've got them all ironed out. And the focus of our show, we do a live show once a month from the Press Club, and the focus of today's show is the stock show, which starts officially tomorrow. It goes from January 10th to the 25th. And with us is Jason Adams, who is a steer wrestler. Jason, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
What is it? Did you think you were going to grow up to be a steer wrestler? I mean,
I grew up in Montana, and so I was always around it. And then when we came down to Colorado in '87, I just kind of got away from it and played sports, and then missed being competitive. So went ahead and turned professional in '98. So
you turned professional. What does that mean?
Basically, you can go through so many rodeos, and there's over 700 through the PRCA, and there's certain ones in the circuit, and you just have to earn so many points, which is actually dollars. So
the PRCA is the Professional Rodeo. What is it?
Cowboys Association.
Cowboys Association. They're the ones that tell you if you want to go down by the chutes, you got to have on a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and a long sleeve shirt. Is that right?
Correct.
Because there could be some filming going on. Is
yeah,
that it?
Correct. Yeah, they set the rules for a lot of things. So.
All right. So. How did you grow up on a farm? How did you learn how to be a steer wrangler?
Steer wrestler, yeah. Basically, steer wrestling is where you go from a running horse onto a running steer, and you throw them to the ground for as fast as you can. So, a lot of it's just athleticism and that and horsemanship. So, if you can growing up around horses, we learned a lot of horsemanship, and that's a key part of it. And then being athletic is the second part of it. So,
how do you happen to be standing up and walking in one piece?
Actually,
I mean, how is it that you walk away from the steer and you look like you're in pretty good shape?
Well, and that's exactly it. It all comes down to being an athlete and it just staying in shape and doing the certain things. And really, the steer wrestling is actually one of the least likely to get hurt. The bull riders and the bareback riders, that's some of the toughest on your body.
Okay, so tell me, what do you make your whole living as a steer wrestler?
Right now I do, yeah. I used to teach school, and I was coached football and wrestling down at Douglas County High School here in Castle Rock. And then, but right now I do, and
what did you teach?
I was mainly at that time I was PE, but right now I was doing, my degree was broad social science, so it was history, and I taught 7th grade there at Castle Rock Middle School, was my student teaching, and then substituted for a while. And so,
but in this time in your life, you decided to walk away from PE and from teaching to be a professional steer wrestler. How much money can the top steer wrestlers make?
I believe the top steer wrestler this year was, his name slips me right now, but Teddy Johnson, and I think he was $142,000 this year. So,
but boy, that's a hard way to make a living, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah, you've got to offset some of the stuff. So you find little jobs to do as you're out on the road and certain other things. So most guys do have some sort of secondary part-time.
Like a day job of some sort.
I would say most.
Keep it going.
Yeah, most people do. And I am involved in quite a few other little side ventures that we've got going. So
what's a day in the life of a steer wrestler consist of? When you are actually going to be wrestling a steer, what do you have to do?
Really, a lot of it has to do with
when you get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Do you have a routine?
Well, you know
and do you have lucky charms that you invoke? do people have superstitions? A lot of actors and other people have superstitions.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the same for all athletes, is everybody has some of their certain superstitions. Rodeo is a little more mentally rigoring than a lot of other sports, because, I mean, once you make a mistake, you've got to wait till the next rodeo to go ahead and come back and try to make it work.
Well, you could make a mistake that could alter the course of your life too, isn't that right? If your head isn't in the right. For example, I was reading the sports pages today, and there was a championship ice skater who was so terrible. I mean, he clearly made mistakes of 8 events, he made serious mistakes on 5 or 6 of them. And of a potential 8 or 9 points, he got only about 3 or something. It was horrible. And he's certainly a better skater than that, because he was in that top competition. But sometimes, mentally, it evaporates, and it is not there for you. What do you do in a case like that? You got to get yourself up mentally, don't you, to do it?
You sure do. And it's all about just figuring out where you lie in a lot of things, and figuring out what it takes you to get your head straight is what it is. And everybody kind of has their own little things, and we do a lot of other things. And for me, it's a lot of staying preoccupied and figuring out where my priorities in life are. And that's why we do a lot of things for Cowboys for Children. We do a lot of school visits and hospital visits. But as far as going back to the day in the life of, I think a lot of what day revolves around is the equine athletes. I mean, we've got horses that are top superior athletes. I mean, and that all they're looking for is not the big money and the big salaries. They just want you to be. They just want to get fed and groomed and kind of make sure they got a nice ride to the next rodeo. And so a lot of that focuses on keeping them in shape, because they're a majority of what earns us our money. And without them, we wouldn't be.
Explain to me the relationship between the cowboy riding the horse helping to earn you your money as a steer wrestler.
Yeah, because
that relationship?
Well, it all comes down to how good your horse is, really. And because as competitors go in steer wrestling, we can all be basically along the same line, but how well your horse works, because that horse has to stand in the corner and has to leave when you tell him to leave, even though there's 100 other things going on, and he has to run full speed up to that steer and then continue to run on. And so he has to give you the perfect shot for you to win your money, because if he doesn't perform perfectly, it's very hard for you to do your job.
Tell us what steer wrestling consists of, because I'm getting you confused with the guys who get on the back of these bull riders.
Yes, exactly. They're basically a
steer wrestler. A bull rider gets on the back out the chutes. He's on the back of this thing, and he's lucky to hang on, and he's got to hang on in a certain way for X number of seconds, right?
8 seconds, correct? Yeah, and there's the real quick rodeo lesson is that there's two ends. There's rough stock riding, which is where people actually ride the animals for a certain point in time, and then they're judged based on how well those animals buck, and then how long they can stay, and then they have to stay on for 8 seconds, and how well they do that. Then there's the timed events, side, and that's where you use your equine athletes, and then you compete with roping or calf rope or tie down or steer wrestling. And what the steer wrestling is it consists of two people. One is just a helper, and they call him a hazer, and then the steer wrestler. And a steer is let loose from the middle of the chute, and he runs forward straight, and then the two of you come up, and then you from a running horse, you crawl off onto a running steer, and with momentum and leverage, you are able to throw him to the ground.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Have you had any major injuries?
No, I haven't. I've had one knee surgery back in 99, and that was pretty much it. So.
Was it from the steer wrestling?
It was, yeah, it was.
You guys have to pay your own insurance?
We do. We get a little bit of help through the PRCA, but yes, we have to pay our own insurance. And that's the other thing that's neat. It's not so neat, but that's different than athletes. Cowboys that compete, we don't get paid to show up. We pay to enter Denver, and then we pay to show up. We pay for all our fees.
What does it cost an average, a steer wrestler, for example, what is the average entry fee to be at the stock show?
For us, for Denver, I think it's right around $375. But see, that's
for the whole show.
That is, and what we do is we'll run at two steers, so we'll have two opportunities to win money, and then we could potentially come back for a short round.
How much money is the most you could hope to win in Denver?
At Denver?
The stock show.
Yeah, it pays to win a round will be about $3,000. There's two, so it could be six average. You could walk out of there with maybe $10,000, $13,000.
You have to provide your own steers? Who provides the steers? It's your horses?
It's usually your horse, yes.
So
you've got to
pay $375, and then you got to bring your horse in. How many horses are you bringing with you?
I'll bring two with me.
Two, and then you have to stable them. So when you come here for the stock show, roughly what does it cost a steer wrestler?
Well, fortunately enough, I'm fairly close, so it's not as bad for most of the time, but it could be it'll cost me $800 probably when you're talking about fuel and lodging and feeding, and that's not even talking about the daily maintaining of your horse prior to that, is keeping them shod, which is they're keeping them
right.
Sound and a bunch of other things. So yeah,
it's going to cost you an easy $1,000. Is that including the $375
That is.
So it's going to cost you, let's say, roughly $1,000, with the possibility that you might make $6,000 as a top.
Well, you get $13,000, yeah.
But more likely,
yep.
Someone's not going to make that $6,000.
Yep.
But it should work out, though, that you at least pay for. And sometimes it might not work out that you don't even pay for the cost. But what are you getting? Points every time you appear? Is it points in the PRCA?
Yeah, like the Denver Stock Show will be a televised, and it's called a tour rodeo. So you will get points, and then also money counts toward which equates to points in the PRCA. And so you're earning points towards the national finals, correct? So you're sometimes you'll go and you'll win a little bit of money, but it costs you more to get there. But that money you won is valuable for the year end standing.
And also, if it's televised, is it going to be nationally televised? So you get the publicity value out of it.
Yes, you will. And I believe this is either ESPN or OLN. I'm not sure which the short round is. And it's only the short round, though. So you have to make the short round, which is the top.
What is a short round mean?
Okay. There will be two go rounds. And they call in rodeo, it's called the average, but it's the aggregate of your score will bring in. They'll take the top 12 of the best in the two rounds to the short round. And that'll be Sunday the 25th.
Sunday the 25th. So is that the night to watch you?
Yeah, that will be the night to watch
me. You do your thing. Jason Alexander, an articulate and professional steer wrestler. How wonderful to have you join us today. And you're helping raise money for Children's Hospital?
Actually, it's Cowboys for Children. We build awareness for all children's organizations. We're helping out Advocates for Children and Children's Hospital this year. And so we'll do a lot of things. We've got a great website. It's cowboysforchildren.com. But we'll help out with the stick horse race on Friday that's actually at the hospital.
What is a stick horse race?
Well, basically, you've seen all the it has a head of a horse, and it's just a stick, and the kids pretend to ride around.
Yeah.
And so they'll get a bunch of kids, and they'll have an actual stick horse race. And there's one that the hospital is having actually at Children's Hospital, and then there's one that the National Western's holding at the National Western on January 15th and 16th. So we'll be there, too, helping those kids.
Do you go into the wards with the really sick kids and do your cowboy number with them or not?
Yes, ma'am. And that's really how the whole organization was started. It's all about professional cowboys making a difference for the children, and that's really where it started. Is that we hope to provide an opportunity when we come in there that for a moment we're able to let the kids forget about the burden that they're carrying and let them just be a kid. And really, the icon, the cowboy image really helps to do that. For a moment, it takes them out of that realm of that world there.
Okay, I have a question that you have to answer.
Okay.
Are cowboys really yes ma'am, no ma'am? They have that real cowboy code of ethics, or is that just for show and tell when they're in the city looking deep into the eyes of city slicker women?
No, you know, I think that a lot of us take on a responsibility that comes with the cowboy, and I believe that a lot of times that you'll find you've got yours out there between all, but I believe that it's just how we've all been raised, and yeah, I believe that there is sort of a code of ethics.
What is the cowboy code of ethics, very quickly?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it all just, we've got a little saying on the website that anybody can be a cowboy. It's not what you do, but how you do it. I think it's just all it has to do with about being upfront, straight, honest, making sure that you take care of your own responsibilities and that you show respect to the people that are taking care of theirs. So.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Jason Adams, steer wrestler, helping to raise money for Children's Hospital. It's been fun. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. Two more hours of Enid as we continue. The focus of today's show is the stock show, which opens officially tomorrow. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
One side of us is gloating about Greg Dobbs being named Denver's best talk show host by Westword is wrong. The other side of us says, why not? Lucky for us, we listen to both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
Hi, folks, this is Larry King. Now, here's something you can take to heart. Welch's Purple Grape Juice. We all know by now that eating at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day can give us heart-healthy benefits. But did you know that just 1 6-ounce glass of Welch's Purple Grape Juice counts as a whole serving of fruit? In fact, a USDA study found that Welch's Purple Grape Juice has 3 times the antioxidant power of grapefruit or even orange juice. And as always, it's fat-free, cholesterol-free, and tastes great, too. So, would I start drinking Welch's Purple Grape Juice every day? In a heartbeat.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Are drugs affecting you, your family, or a friend? Narcanon provides answers to drug addiction. They offer free assessment and referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers nationwide. For 30 years, Narcanon has successfully used a drug-free approach to long-term recovery that works. They understand the cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction. To find out more about Narcanon, log on to www.stopaddiction.com or call 1-800-468-6933.
Waterway, the best car wash in town, has a winter protection package for you that helps protect your car from the worst of winter snow, salt, slush, and grime. Visit them today.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. AM 1150 KNRC proudly sponsors Mutts and Models, a celebrity fashion show and dance on Friday, January 16 at 7 p.m. at the Gothic Theater. This fashion extravaganza benefits Harrison Memorial Animal Hospital, Colorado's only nonprofit vet hospital, providing services at reduced prices for pets whose owners are low income. That's Mutts and Models, Friday, January 16th at the Gothic Theater. Purchase tickets online at blacktie-colorado.com or call 303-722-2100.
Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1258. That's Patsy Decline, otherwise known as Lanny Garrett. And if you're just tuning in, this is the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month from the Press Club, and the focus of this show today is the Stock Show, which opens officially tomorrow. There's a media party tonight. I have to find out what the story is on that media party. And I'm told that there is usually a big luncheon that opens up the Stock Show as well. So we have been talking to a professional steer wrestler. We've been talking to Lanny Garrett, who is also Patsy Decline. Two more hours of Enid coming right up. We're going to be talking to Steve Wild from Rockmount Western Wear. We're going to be talking to Roxanne from Crybaby Ranch. We're going to be talking about cowboys, cowgirls. We're going to have a cowboy poet. We've got to have lots of information about the Stock Show coming up. We have all kinds of stuff, and we're going to be giving away tickets to the Mexican Extravaganza at the Stock Show. So stay tuned, because we're going to be giving away two pairs of tickets worth, I think, $44 a piece or a pair or something. Anyway, it's going to be a great deal. I'm Enid Goldstein. This is the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Lots of sunshine, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by RAD. The Spanish Gate Apartments in Glendale was destroyed by a fire a week ago Sunday, but the building has to be leveled, a process that began about 10 this morning. Brian Shawpaw is a project manager with the Denver company handling the demolition.
Start to finish, we're shooting for about 10 days right now. The actual demolition of the building will be completed in about 3 days, and then the remainder of that will be just loading out the debris.
A spokesman for the building's owner says displaced tenants were offered housing with his other properties. Some accepted the offers, while others found alternate housing on their own. One woman died in that blaze, and a 22-year-old resident of the apartment has been arrested in connection with the fire. Officials think it could be another record-breaking year at the National Western Stock Show, which starts tomorrow. So far, advanced ticket sales are already running ahead of last year, when 641,000 attended. As for the highlight of the show, the rodeo, spokeswoman Katie Christensen says there's something new this year.
We have a brand new barrel man this year who will provide, let's say, on-the-edge comedy for those attending. He's a lot younger than what you typically see a barrel man, and he uses a lot of pyrotechnics, a lot of wild music, and is generally just out there.
The 16-day event starts tomorrow at the National Western Complex. Denver police continue searching for the suspect in a triple shooting early this morning. Three people were shot and injured about 1:35 this morning at the Mozart Lounge at 14th and Cremaria. The motive of the shooting is under investigation. Police are looking for a black man driving a green convertible who was described by witnesses as the shooter. At least four Fort Carson soldiers were killed in the crash of a Black Hawk helicopter in Iraq yesterday, although the names of the dead have not been released yet. Witnesses in Iraq say the helicopter was hit by a rocket and then went down. The helicopter, which reportedly had a large red cross on each side, was being used for medical evacuations. Fort Carson has had 36 of its soldiers die in Iraq since the beginning of the war. That number does not include the fatalities in yesterday's crash. Former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein is now officially classified as an enemy prisoner of war. A spokesman for the Pentagon said the toppled leader is receiving all rights due him under the Geneva Convention, and that the conditions in which he is being held remains unchanged. Earlier this week, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told reporters the toppled leader is in good hands. The national terror threat level has been lowered. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge announced today that the threat assessment level has been dropped back to the mid-level range of yellow. Despite the overall drop, Ridge told a news conference that higher alert levels will be maintained in some areas.
Certain locales and certain areas within the private sector that for the time being we will maintain added vigilance and security.
Ridge did not elaborate, but it is believed that the airline industry is one such area. The threat level was raised to the higher orange level before the holidays. Ridge said he's thankful that nothing happened, and he noted that lowering the threat level, quote, does not mean that we have let our guard down. The national threat level has been raised 5 times since it was introduced in March of 2002. A man suspected in a quadruple murder and the kidnapping of 3 little girls in Georgia is in the hospital after shooting himself before his capture last night in Tennessee. Andrea Sharp was returning from a vacation when she spotted murder suspect Jerry Jones traveling the freeway with the children.
We were on our way back from a Florida vacation and we did not think anything about it, but we had saw several of those Amber Alerts and we had it on our mind, and we just happened to drive by them and to get a glimpse of everything, and it all came together.
Jones is suspected of having killed his in-laws, his 10-month-old baby, sometime on Wednesday, and then fleeing with the girls, who were found unharmed. The nation's unemployment rate fell in December to its lowest point in over a year to 5.7%, but the number of jobs created during that time rose by just 1,000. Economists were expecting the economy to generate 130,000 jobs last month. The new data from the Labor Department shows that the retail sector had sustained the biggest hit. On Wall Street, stocks are all lower at this hour. The Dow is down more than 92 points. The Nasdaq down over 4. The S&P 500 down about 4.5. In sports, the Utah Jazz come to town tonight to take on the Denver Nuggets. Tonight is the first time this season that the Nuggets have played the Jazz. Nuggets are coming off their Wednesday night win over the L.A. Lakers. RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety, says please plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate. Designated drivers rock. Learn more at RADD.org. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Alka-Seltzer Plus. And, well, we still got the same problems. No accidents this time, but just general slowing. Southbound I-25 starting around Downing down to Colorado. Northbound I-25 starts a little after Yale up to Evans, so just be aware of that. This cold and flu season is worse than ever, so get Alka-Seltzer Plus to break up and relieve your worst cold and flu symptoms fast. Alka-Seltzer Plus. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our big ridge of high pressure will strengthen, leaving us wide open for the weekend. Just a gorgeous couple of days ahead. With a mix of sun and clouds through the afternoon, we'll top out today in the low to mid-50s. Tonight, we're back into the mid-20s. And then we're a little closer to 60 with sunshine on Saturday, back in the 50s on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We're focusing on this Press Club show. We are focusing on this press for, on this show. We are focusing on the stock show, and it starts officially tomorrow. And with me is Lynn Kelly, who is the spokesperson not only for Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, the daddy of Mon All and my favorite rodeo, but also she has a presence at the stock show. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Talk to me about. But let's talk first of all about the stock show because it starts tomorrow. You are doing the press credentialing.
It does.
What's it like to do the stock show? What's you? You've been doing it for a long time now, right?
I have. It is so much fun out there. You know, everything, I think, you know, we live in the heart of the West. And so it's always a pleasure to be associated with all of the things that make the West what it is. All of the cattle and the horses and the cowboys and the cowgirls and the contestants and the horses. It's just great. It's just so much fun.
Does it take all year long to get it together for the next stock show? How many years now has it been that we've had a stock show? It's in the 90s or 100 almost?
I think it's getting, it's edging up to 100.
Okay.
And it, yeah, absolutely.
And so once the stock show ends for the year, they probably take a little bit of vacation and then they start all over again organizing?
They start all over. It's just like Cheyenne, you know, you just have, it's a year-round effort. I mean, there's so many participants that you really can't just like put it together in a couple of weeks.
What's the difference between Cheyenne Frontier Days, which I have loved? I go on the I've gone now twice on the post train.
Oh yeah,
which is a great way of doing it.
It is a hoot.
It is wonderful, and I would love to do the show live. Is Alan Eisenson? Are you listening? I would love
Alan.
To do this show live from the from Cheyenne Frontier Days.
We want you to. Yes, that would be great.
Next summer. But what are the differences? What are the similarities between the two shows? I know that Frontier Days is called the Daddy of Mall.
It is. The Daddy of Mall is, and it's 108th year. It's the oldest continuous rodeo in the world, actually. It's never missed a year, not in the Depression, not in two world wars, never ever, since a bunch of businessmen and railroaders and members of the chamber, it was the Chamber of the Railroad and the military got together over back in the late 1800s and said, you know, we need to do something to celebrate our Western heritage. We need to do
something.
Was
it also a ploy to bring in more tourists, more bring in more business, more traffic, you know, give them a place on the map?
I'm sure it was. You know, back in those days, they had a tent town called Hell on Wheels, and I think they were doing
that
everything.
That,
oh, yeah.
What was Hell on Wheels? What
Hell
was
on
that
Wheels was a tent city that was Cheyenne. They called it Hell on Wheels
Hell on
because
Wheels.
It was a,
wide open?
What it was. You got it. It was absolutely wide open. You know, they were hanging Tom Horn and the whole thing up there then.
Somebody told me that there are maybe 500,000 people in the whole state of Wyoming and they travel vast distances to find each other. Is that really true or is that an exaggeration?
That is true, and we from Wyoming say we're not a state, we're a club.
Really?
Yeah. There are very many of us, and you'd be surprised that you travel all over. I've been all over, and I go somewhere and say, I'll give you a good example. We were in Paris in the Louvre, in the museum, standing in front of the Mona Lisa, my sister and I, and she looked over and went, "Hi, Fred." And it was a couple of her students from the middle school in Georgian, Wyoming.
Oh my.
What are the chances?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I see this cowboy bolero that I've got here
this.
On the back of.
I do.
I got that in Cheyenne from Virginia. What's Virginia Dandy? Is
mm-hmm.
that her? Yep, I got
Virginia.
Some.
Oh, yeah.
I got a couple of Western things, and now I finally had a chance to wear them. They've been sitting in the closet this whole time.
There'll be no excuse for you not to come up and broadcast live now that you've got the appropriate apparel.
Well, there
and
it
attitude,
is.
Attitude, of course.
And what is the cowgirl attitude? Tell me, because we were just talking about the cowboy code of ethics. What's a cowgirl attitude?
The cowgirl attitude is don't take those cowboys too seriously.
Oh, do you get to say, is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just happy to see
Well, me? I think you can just pretend that, you know, that 8 seconds is not necessarily always a good ride.
I'm going to remember that one.
Uh-huh.
Lynn Kelly, who is the spokesperson for the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, and which is the daddy of them all, and plus does the press credentialing and other responsibilities for the stock show. Tell me what we can expect in the stock show for the stock show this year. Is it same as, better than last year? Everybody always hopes that the next year is going to be better than the year preceding.
Sure.
But what can we look forward to this year that might be standout?
Gosh, I think that this stock show just gets better every year. You know, it starts out with that wonderful Mexican rodeo. We're having the bull riders for three nights this year.
As opposed to what, two nights last?
Just two. Yeah, and so the rodeos start actually this year on Thursday. There'll be a couple of rodeos every day. There's so much to do for your family. There's so many exhibits, and there's all the wonderful livestock exhibits, all of the poultry and the rabbits. And if you've never seen any of real country, this is your opportunity to do it in Denver, is to come and see. Don't stand right next to a gigantic heifer, you know, that weighs a couple thousand pounds.
You know, when they were looking for that Holstein, they thought it was a Goldstein and this mad cow.
No.
I want to ask you about mad cow as an issue right now as far as the stock show is concerned, because there is the actual selling of beef, isn't there, at this time, or cattle for, how does that work? I know cattle and horses are also sold, wasn't that one of the original purposes of the stock show?
I think it was, and I think Pat Grant is coming on later, can probably speak to that much better than I, because he's got a much better handle on how that works. It's my sense, though, that the stock show is a place where you show your cattle.
Do you not make deals to sell, or no selling that goes on?
There's not really a sale in that sense. It's more of a show, and you judge them, and you say, these are examples of A1 beef and A1
prime
cuts and all that. This is what
so
we're
this
looking
is the PR
for.
Aspect
yeah.
of how you get people
yeah.
interested in your product.
Yes.
But with Mad Cow, have you heard any of the ramifications and how that might affect the stock show this year, or is it irrelevant, do you think?
I don't think it's very relevant to the stock show, because we're really not serving beef that's slaughtered at the stock show. It's not about
that.
It's about showing.
It's about showing, but will it impact the prices, do you think?
Well, that's hard for me to say.
Right.
I don't know. My grandpa raised Herefords in Nebraska, so I would have to tell you, as the granddaughter of a big rancher, that I hope not.
How are these two shows the same? How are they different? Frontier Days, I remember when I was up the first time, it was pretty impressive. They threw me out of there, but there was a VIP.
No.
Oh, well, there was a VIP section. I managed just to be there long enough before they tossed me out. But there was a senator there. There was the head of the Joint Chiefs there. There were all these bigwigs there.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. And I think one of the best things about Frontier Days and the stock show, aside from all the events, is the people watching.
Absolutely.
People always say, oh, don't you hate going to an airport early? I usually don't mind, other than I'm usually strapped for time, but I don't mind sitting there because I've always got something to read. And if I don't have something to read, it is so interesting to me to watch people.
I love it. The airport is one of the best places in the world to be stuck, because you get to see people. I love it.
And not necessarily in their best mode.
No, not necessarily.
But at the stock show, it's really fascinating to see the people who come. There's really a whole cross-section that comes.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. And all the kids that come from school, you know, to get their first look at livestock up close and to see all the exhibits and just kind of have that whole wonderful melting pot that we have out here, I think. It's a great place to see it.
All right. If some of us know, I went back to the stock show several times last year, and this year I'm not going to have a chance to do it because I'm not going to be available to do it as much. But let me ask you a question. If you were doing a guided tour of the stock show and you don't have a lot of time and people could only go one time, what are some of the highlights you'd recommend for them to consider?
Oh gosh, well,
I know there are a lot of choices, so it's a very selective list, but what would you say?
I would say that you have to go and visit the livestock, you have to walk through the horse barns, you have to go and look at some of the wonderful exhibits that are there. And this is something that you can do very inexpensively, because you just need a show ticket to do that. If you have time.
What does a show ticket cost this year? We don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. And the event tickets. We're giving away later in the broadcast. We're going to give away two pairs of tickets to the Mexican Extravaganza.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's so much fun.
You want to describe what the Mexican Extravaganza is?
They have a rodeo. They have music. It is just a fun time. And also, again, a celebration of culture, which I think is one of the similarities between the stock show and Cheyenne Frontier Days, is it is a celebration of the West and what settled us. And the difference being that Frontier Days would be much more centered on the cowboy and the cowgirl, whereas the stock show is more. Or while we have 22 rodeos, 23, I think, actually, there is also a huge focus on the cattleman, which would be, and the all of the livestock that is exhibited, which is very important. As you said, it's part of the marketing of the beef business and the sheep business and all of the other livestock that
which we have this year it's going to be a really a more critical time for these industries, mm-hmm. because there was something millions of dollars of beef en route to Korea and Japan,
yes.
that were stopped in mid-route.
Yes.
They would not accept them because of mad cow. Nobody knows what to do with them. I don't know even if it's been resolved at this time still. So this is what we have done when there has been mad cow in other countries, we've slammed down any possibility of bringing that stuff in. So they're only too happy to do the same thing us, and this impacts a lot of people in this country.
It does. And especially out here, you know, because that's what we're about. We're an agricultural based community here, and also in Wyoming, of course.
I want to say something else. When I went to Frontier Days, there were these cowgirls, and they looked so free. Some of them were trick riders. They could straddle two horses at a time, standing up and waving flags and doing all this stuff, and I thought, wow, this is great. Now, it looks one way. I don't know what is the reality of it, but they look really free. They all have the same look, too. They're all wearing hot cowboy hats, but lest they look too dykey, they all have real long hair. What they're doing, I think, is a very tough kind of almost masculine thing, but they're taking very great pains to look very feminine, even as they're performing some very tough physical feats. Tell me about those cowgirls.
To be able to be a good trick rider, you have to have years of practice and an extremely good ability as a horsewoman to understand your horse, to know what the horse is going to do, to anticipate every move. And the horse also has to know that about you. So they work with their animals for hours and hours and years and years to be able to do that. And you also, of course, have to be, as you could see, extremely flexible, probably young, I would say. And it doesn't hurt to be gorgeous, which most of them are.
Yeah, it's a great.
It is so fun.
It is a great show.
Frontier Days draws about, we'll have around 2,000 contestants. We call it the daddy of them all because it is the biggest outdoor rodeo in the world. It pays them. It'll pay $1 million this year to those participants in the rodeo. And cowboys call it, the cowboys name Cheyenne the daddy of them all. And it's because of that. It's where you come, because it's a 10-day event, and it is centered on the contest. People come from all over the country, and they call it a King's X rodeo. It's in the center of the country. It's kind of the middle of the season. And they park there and visit and bring their family. So it becomes...
Do you get a lot of Europeans coming because they're so enamored of the
huge.
West? Huge. Do you
French,
get that? Do
German,
we,
do, Italian,
do we get,
Japanese.
Japanese. Do we get that at the stock show, too?
Yes, we do.
A lot of Europeans come because they love that cowboy lifestyle.
Oh, gosh. And we'll credential, 1,000 at least press at this event, at the stock show this year.
Lynn Kelly, thank
so
you
fun.
So much for joining us today. It has been a great pleasure.
I should say whoopee.
Whoopee. Kaya yippee yippee yay. I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony's Shaving and and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 till noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
To love the model, let me down.
This is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1:23 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these live shows from the Press Club once a month. Feel free to drop in. We are on Glen Arm between 13th and 14th, right across from the DAC, the Denver Athletic Club, and I'm yours until 3 o'clock on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. And we're focusing this show on the stock show because it opens tomorrow officially. There's a party tonight. Joining me is somebody that I first met shortly after I arrived. His name is Steve Weil. He is a third generation of Rock Mount Western Wear. Thank you, Steve, for joining us.
Well, thanks, Enid. It's nice to be with you.
I'm delighted that you could be here. Where I first met Steve was on the Denver Post train up to Cheyenne Frontier Days, and that's when I heard all about Rock Mount Western Wear, and I heard all about your grandfather, who is started the firm, and he's, what, about 103 years old, Jack Weil?
He's going to be 103 in March.
Oh, my God, I hardly have an IQ that reaches his age. That is really unbelievable. When did he start the business, Rock Mount Ranchwear?
He started Rock Mount in 1946, and we've been on Wazee Street since then.
Do you sell things on Wazee Street, or is that just where the offices are?
Well, we started in that building as a warehouse only, and then moved our offices to the building about 20 years ago, and then about a year and a half ago, we opened for retail. So up until a year and a half ago, we were strictly wholesale.
But now, and now I know you have a place at Colorado Mills.
Right.
And I need to get a cowgirl shirt. They're just the right kind. I'm looking for just the right kind of a cowgirl shirt. I'm going to have to come by and see.
Good.
For the next Cheyenne Frontier Days. Tell me about how did your grandfather decide to open up a ranchwear operation, and what are some of the big names who have come by, who have been some of your customers?
Two questions. Let's start with the history, because this goes back a long ways, and I hope nobody snoozes through this. But my grandfather and grandmother came to Denver in 1926 in a brand new Chrysler Roadster. And he came to Denver to open an office for a Chicago firm which he represented. It was called Paris Garters, and I've seen photographs of 16th Street in the 20s that show the office he set up. Anyway, he did that.
Garters, as in girls' garters that they wear, or the kind of garters
too.
That men wore to keep their sleeves rolled
exactly.
up?
Exactly. Before elastic, you had to wear these little straps to keep your stockings up, or your socks if you're a guy, or your sleeves if you were a man. And you know, it's a
why didn't you just roll up your sleeves? What do you need a garter for?
I wasn't there. I can't answer that. Sorry.
Well, there's a dying business. The garter. It's a good thing that he got out of that garter business.
Yeah, it was lucky. That and buggy whips. But so in the 20s, he met a guy named Phil Miller, and Phil had a business that was beginning to develop, and my grandfather and he became partners in Miller Stockman, and they had wholesale, retail, and a catalog, and They built that business into a very profitable business during the Depression, which is just...
What were they handling? What was Miller Stackman? Was this clothing for ranchers?
Well, what my grandfather brought into the company was manufacturing. They weren't making their own stuff at that point.
But what stuff were they making? Clothing?
They were doing clothing, boots, saddles, jeans. They were an agent for Levi. They did ranch clothing, basically, which was a fairly new category at that time.
So then at some point your grandfather goes out on his own?
Right. That business began to be more oriented on the cut price discount business, and my grandfather really felt that his forte was the fine special treatments and the better goods that he knew how to make. And so he broke away and started Rock Mountain in 1946 to focus on higher end, better goods.
Did he invent certain ranchwear, or did he only improve on the existing designs?
Well,
was he an innovator?
Yeah, he was an innovator. He is to Western shirts what Henry Ford is to the car, basically. He developed the first shirts with snaps, and what he did was he put into production shirts that primarily had been only made by tailors prior to that. So he helped popularize Western wear.
So if you had wanted that kind of a Western shirt before with the yokes, how do you call those yokes that special?
That's exactly what they are.
I'm showing it, but this is radio. How would you describe
it? Yeah, I mean, for the picture, you have to go onto the web.
So, what is your website, by the way?
Rockmount.com.
Rockmount, okay. So he designs for the mass market what has only previously been available to a
custom-made stuff. Very expensive. The rodeo, the movie stars, you know, Tom Mix, those guys, all their shirts were handmade one at a time.
Well, who were some of your grandfather's customers and some of the customers of Rockmount through the years?
Well, you know, I have a pretty good grip on who we do business with now, and I can tell you some of those people, but I'll tell you what, let's start with Elvis.
Elvis?
Whose birthday was yesterday, by the way.
Oh,
and this guy
he's
came
probably
in.
Still in Kalamazoo, and I'm sure there's an Elvis sighting. The tabs are great about Elvis. This is what they did.
This is what I love about retail. Some guy walks into the Rockmount Lodo store yesterday, dressed and looking like Elvis, with a guitar, and two kids in a stroller, and his wife. It turns out he was playing downtown, and he wanted to come in and buy a shirt. And he picks out a bunch of stuff, and he's so thrilled, he plays a song for our office. And it was Elvis, I'm telling you. Elvis when he was 20.
Did you actually meet Elvis?
No.
but I want to hear these Elvis stories, well, because here's what the tabloids did with Elvis. One time there was a whole spate of Elvis sightings. And the tabloids, God bless them, the less reputable ones, in case there are more reputable ones, did a whole series. First, they saw Elvis in Kalamazoo or someplace. Then
at Walmart, right?
Something like that. And then he fell in love with a waitress. And then the third week's installment was he was in a motorcycle accident. And then the fourth week, he was marrying the waitress. But since he got hurt in the motorcycle accident, he limped down the aisle. I mean, they had all bases were covered. And a friend of mine whose dad, a friend of mine who is no longer, who actually was killed execution style in Brentwood, that's another story, her father was one of the mobsters that helped Las Vegas get started. When she was little, Elvis used to sing at her birthday parties.
Wow.
So what Elvis stories do you have?
Well, mine's kind of backwards. I found a shirt that my father had when he came out of the Army, a Rockmount shirt my grandfather made. It was one of my father's first shirts when he came into the company in 1954. And this shirt had been perfectly preserved. It was a burgundy window pane. And I took it to a trade show, and everybody went bonkers over it. And it happened that I had found that Dan River, who made the fabric, still could make this fabric for us. So we remade this shirt about 5 years ago that was exactly the same as the one that my father had in the 50s. Well, it was a great seller, and we did really well, and that kind of got us going on this thing where we remake styles every year. We bring out some new ones.
Old styles.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that, like vintage.
But here's the clincher. During the 25-year anniversary of Elvis's death a couple of years ago, I'm watching movies in Dallas while I'm in a hotel at a trade show late at night, and what's the one about love song? There's a song with love, and there was a title of a movie. Anyway, there's... Love Me Tender.
Love Me Tender.
Thank
okay.
you very much. Yes.
That was Sean. So, Sean has got a website called Entertain Your Brain, and he is a movie critic.
Yes. Well, there's Elvis wearing this same burgundy check shirt.
Oh, no.
In the movie.
Oh, no.
And I had no idea he wore a shirt, so I got a copy of it, and we, of course, have that on our archives at rockmat.com. But that's starting at the beginning. Now since then, we've got Bob Dylan on his most recent album wearing one of our shirts, which actually was made several years ago.
Do they come in? Do their representatives call you, or do they buy them at retail someplace?
A lot of times we find out just by seeing it in the press. You know, Bruce Springsteen on the cover of Esquire.
Has one of your shirts on?
Yeah.
Which one did he have on? I want to know.
Well, it's been a long time. Also a bolo tie. But in recent, you know, fairly recent times, we had Gene Simmons come in a few months ago with Miss October.
Miss October. Well, if he misses October, he'll pick it up in November.
I'm talking about
Did he have a pocket?
Miss October from Playboy.
Yes, yes, I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Did he have a special pocket for his tongue in that shirt?
He was without makeup and very much the rock star.
How did you know it was him without his makeup? Did he tell you immediately in the first sentence or two?
I'm very fortunate to have people in my office who know these things.
So they knew immediately.
Yeah. Now, let's see, who else have we had?
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Steve Weil, who is the owner of Rock Mount Ranchwear. You're the third generation. Your grandfather, who started the company, is going to be 103. Is he still active?
He is very active, as is my father, and the three of us run the company.
Oh, what an intriguing... Have you got tales to tell about being the youngest in a family business?
I will say it's much better to have one of us being interviewed at a time. Otherwise, nobody would get to finish a thought.
I can understand. So you have all these celebrity clients. You're bringing back a lot of the vintage. Is your dad over there?
My dad is over there.
Where is he?
He's sitting there in the...
Why don't we bring him over and have him say hello?
Let's wait till the end.
Come on over here and say hello. This is... What's your dad's name?
Jack.
And what's your grandfather's name?
Jack. There's Jack A, Jack B, and I am fortunately not Jack C.
Were they ran out of imagination, so there's two Jacks?
My mom did not want there to be a Jack the Turd.
Come say hello. Come sit down right here. See if you'll put on...
He only gets 30 seconds.
This is Steve Weil's dad. His name is Jack. Jack, come say something to us and introduce yourself. Jack is the second generation of Rock Mount Ranchwear. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
Come talk into that microphone.
Okay.
We were hearing a tale about a shirt that you brought back, or that you wore in the 50s, and that Steve found out was Elvis's shirt, the burgundy window pane shirt.
Yeah.
But you've been in the ranchwear business all of your life?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Well, I mean, today.
No.
And you have a ways to go to be 103, I can see that.
Well, I really do. Thanks.
What has been wonderful about being in the ranchwear business?
Well, I'll tell you, I was in the Army during the Korean thing, and I got out in 54, I guess. And I was going to go on the road, help my dad. He had started this business, and I was going to be there a year. And all of a sudden, I got married, and she got pregnant, and we bought a house, and so I'm still here.
Have you liked this business?
Yes, it's been very satisfying. It's been a lot of fun. We just sort of went our own way, and I bought piece goods and styled Western shirts and never thought too much about it. And all of a sudden, when Stephen got in the business, he started digging up some of the old stuff.
I love that old stuff. I think that's a really genius move to have done that.
Well, it kind of made us... A bit of a celebrities, but we never thought about it at the time.
Isn't that amazing? You know what? Here's your father was involved in the Paris garter business, and garters have gone the way of buggy
That's
whips.
Right.
But Western wear doesn't go out of style. In fact, it waxes and wanes, but it never really wanes that much, does it?
It never goes away.
Yeah.
There was a time when it went to the mass market for the first time, which was John Travolta, Urban Cowboy, 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, went away, it declined, but it still was more popular than it had ever been. And as a result of that, it's much more in the public's consciousness than it ever used to be. And, you know, here we are at Stock Show time, and that plays into this, too.
Will you have a presence at the Stock Show? Do you have a booth there?
We're there in spirit. We don't see the Stock Show as a cash register thing. We see it as a maintaining and preserving the Western lifestyle thing, and that's how we support it.
But you don't have a particular...
We don't, because we're really not retailers primarily. We're a design house and a manufacturing company, and that's what we do.
Will you do custom stuff for people if they want it?
We don't do custom. We're a production company. We sell nationally and internationally, and we went into retail locally just because the retail business had changed fundamentally, and there was none of the old line Western stores existed in the core city anymore, and we felt there was a need to do that.
I think it's a great idea. I thank you both for joining us.
You know, I don't know whether Steve mentioned it, but the Western apparel is the one American style. Most other apparel and clothing has been borrowed from other countries, but this is the one thing we've given the world, and we're kind of proud of that.
Thank you so much, the two of you, father and son, Jack Weil and Steve Weil, Rock Mount Ranch, where, thank you.
I have one more thing to add, if I can.
Yeah, quickly.
We are thinking of doing a poetry contest for my grandfather's 103rd birthday, and we are looking for submissions by March 15th. That could be sent to info@rockmount.com, and this would be poetry in the cowboy style, perhaps, maybe about Rockmount, maybe about my grandfather, whatever. But we're going to have a contest.
Oh, that's great. All right. So all of you who are poets out there, again, the website, rockmount.com.
Right.
Thank you, the two of you, father and son, Jack and Steve Weil, Rockmount Ranch, where I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150. KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Crews have begun leveling the Spanish Gate apartment building that was destroyed by fire nearly 2 weeks ago. It will most likely take about 10 days to tear down the building. One woman died in the blaze, and a 22-year-old resident of the apartment complex has been arrested in connection with Glendale's first ever fatal fire. Denver Police continue looking for the suspect in an early morning shooting that sent three people to the hospital with gunshot wounds. A motive for the shooting at the Mozart Lounge at 14th and Cremeria is still under investigation. Witnesses describe the shooter as a black man who was driving a green convertible. The crash of a Black Hawk helicopter in Iraq yesterday has killed at least four soldiers from Fort Carson. So far, officials have not released the names of the dead soldiers. Prior to yesterday's crash, Fort Carson had lost 36 of its soldiers since the war in Iraq began. In sports, it's the Denver Nuggets versus the Utah Jazz tonight at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets are coming off their Wednesday night victory over the LA Lakers. If you want to avoid an expensive repair job on your car's automatic transmission, get to AutoZone and change your transmission fluid every 2 years or 24,000 miles. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
Oh, Randy, it was a mistake bringing you to the Texas Yodel Off.
Prilosec, Odol OTC.
Oh, boy. Well, at least we've helped lots of frequent heartburn sufferers with new Prilosec OTC, that one pill a day.
It little pill-io.
For 24 hours of zero heartburn.
One whole day.
Oh, it's possible with Prilosec OTC, and it starts working the very first day.
Hee-ho!
Now, if you could just stop that yodeling.
Prilosec, Odol OTC.
Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
Hey, what are you doing on the computer?
Believe it or not, I just finished our taxes.
Come on.
Yeah, with TurboTax software.
Are you sure we did it right?
Yes. TurboTax asks you simple questions, and it puts the answers on all the right forms.
What if we made a mistake?
Well, it checks for errors and missed deductions, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Whoa.
I know. So now I can print our return and mail it, or file it electronically, and we're done.
I've always liked that TurboTax.
Really?
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Available at a retailer near you. See box for guaranteed details.
KNRC News Time is 1:41. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Well, our main problem is congestion. I'm Darren Copeland. The 710 KNUS traffic report is brought to you by Zantrex 3. Northbound I-25 through the tech center. Too many cars, not enough highway there. Watch for some slowing. Also, either direction as you approach on I-25 between the Evans and Colorado interchange. Watch for that slow traffic in both directions. What's the number one diet pill in America? Zantrex 3. Rapid weight loss, incredible energy, and one amazing super pill. Zantrex 3. All stores nationwide or log on to Zantrex3.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We can pretty much write our own ticket this weekend. The ridge of high pressure gets stronger and our skies stay clear. And we're going to have a beautiful stretch of days here right on into the beginning of next week. Mix of sun and clouds this afternoon with a high right around 53. Mainly clear tonight with lows in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny near 60 tomorrow and in the 50s on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 142. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Losses are mounting on Wall Street inside the final hour of trading. Dow Industrials now down 112 points. The S&P 500 losing 8. NASDAQ is also down 8 points. But the buyers are mad for rapid bio tests after the company announced plans to develop a rapid diagnostic test for mad cow disease. Rapid Bio says wants to come up with an effective way to either treat the disease or at least slow it down. The stock is one of the day's best performers, up 88%. Another big winner, a company called SpaceDev. It makes products used in space, like satellites and rocket propulsion systems. And traders are betting this firm will benefit from the president's new plan to return to the moon and eventually go to Mars. SpaceDev stock right now up 57%. Microsoft jumping into bed with eBay. Company says the latest version of its MSN Internet service will be able to take auctions, track them rather, and make transactions on eBay. eBay stock, though, still down over a half dollar. Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1:44 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. The focus of today's show is the stock show, which opens officially tomorrow. And I hope to be there. I went several times last year, but I'm really interested in things that are cowboy and cowgirl. And with us is Roxanne Thurman, who owns the Crybaby Ranch in Larimer Square. Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I love your shop, and I'm wearing your boots today, and I've gotten many compliments on them. And I've teased, I tease and say, you know what, I could put wheels on these things and drive them for what they cost. But they are gorgeous. I saw them in your window, and the minute I saw them, it was like a cartoon thing where sparks flew out of my heels as I was madly pedaling backwards to walk into your store and hoped to God that you did not have them in my size, but you did, and they're great. Talk to me about cowgirls and cowgirl wear.
Well, for us, of course, we like to refer to ourselves as the cowgirls with a slight edge, as your boots would be testament to. You might let your listeners know that they are lime green and black.
Yes, they are.
And so we kind of do a mixture of our clothing in here. We're very item-driven, and I've always had a fascination not only with the West, where I grew up, but also with the Far East. So we combined a couple of elements to make it just slightly edgier than you would see somewhere else, I think.
Why'd you call your place Crybaby Ranch?
Oh, it was a very long time ago and a very long story that I will not bore you with, but just in a nutshell, it was inspired by antics from my children. So we'll just leave that to everyone's imagination.
And your theme, I know every time visiting celebrities are in town, they always somehow manage to stop in a Crybaby Ranch, which is worth it at least for the name, if for no other reason, and there are many, many reasons to stop in. But tell me about being a cowgirl, and tell me about the cowgirl mythology, and tell me about some of the things that you sell in the shop.
Well, I'm sorry to say that I'm probably not a real cowgirl in the sense that I ride horses every single day, but I like to refer to my little shop here in Larimer Square as my 1,500 square foot spread. And
yeah, but you know what? To be a good businesswoman, you got to, you know, it takes every bit as much creativity and effort and skill as being a cowgirl does.
Well, someday I intend to ride the range. Right now, I'm just riding from block to block between 14th and 15th.
Yes. And what are you noticing in the who you're selling to? Has the audience broadened for cowgirl and cowgirl clothing and memorabilia? Because you have a lot of other stuff in there. You have lunch pails and you got pillows and lamps and all kinds of stuff.
Well, I think there's a certain nostalgia base to the store that appeals to so many people. The Roy Rogers, the Hopalong Cassidy, the John Wayne, the things of my childhood. But also what we're seeing, and I'm always slightly amused by the fact that when you see celebrities or people that are in the media that are embracing Western wear or Western clothes, boots in specific, people tend to say to me in the store, aren't you happy that this trend is back? And I always remind them that for me it is not a trend, it's a lifestyle. But we are enjoying a new renewed interest in Western everything, but particularly with boots. I haven't seen it yet, but I was told that in one of the more popular magazines that's out that it detailed many people, Stella McCartney, some of the designers from London, all showing their fall fashions with cowboy boots, in our case, cowgirl boots. So I'm always pleased to hear that.
I don't think they ever really go out of style.
Never.
And it's really a look. If you are living in California, for example, if you're living in Hollywood, and even if not, even if you're living in New York and you're trying to kind of look hip, it's a very easy and good-looking uniform to wear if you're a guy or even if you're a woman, to wear cowboy boots, to wear jeans, to wear a Western shirt, even to wear a cowboy hat.
Well, I think that for me, I think 6 days a week I've got cowboy boots on, and I think they are the sharpest footwear that you can possibly own. And I know that you're wearing yours a lot, and we love that you're out there being our model.
Well, you're going to have a big trunk show coming up, don't you? Tell us about that.
We are, as a matter of fact.
Is the public invited to that?
The public is invited. It will be January 17th from 7 o'clock until, we like to say, question mark, question mark, question mark. We're usually here till 11 or 12. It's with Liberty.
7 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
7 p.m.?
7 p.m. That's a Saturday night, a week from tomorrow. And we will be showcasing, as we do twice a year, our Liberty Boot line, which is a handmade line with Tony Benatar, the owner. And you can come, and it's quite an exciting event because not only do you get caught up in the enthusiasm for wearing boots, but for designing. You can design anything that you want, any color that you want, any toe, heel. So it gets to be a very personal experience.
Oh,
we have a great time.
I bet you can, but you can go nuts
you
with the choices because option glass, which colors, which size heel, which kind of toe.
Oh, it does, but it sort of fuels the enthusiasm, and we have a really wonderful crowd that comes, and we turn it into a party, and we would love very much to see as many people down here. My mission, of course, is to have everybody own at least one pair of cowboy boots.
Well, you really can't be a real cowgirl if you don't have at least one pair of cowboy boots.
No.
Or cowgirl boots. What are these? Are these really a pricey thing if you're putting them together yourself in a sort of kind of quasi-custom manner?
Well, you know, as it with anything, you can certainly, the sky can be the limit. Or if you just come in here knowing that you would like to spend X amount of dollars, you can certainly tell the bootmaker that, and he will guide you in that direction. The way it works at a boot show is that we only take a deposit on the boots at the show, and when the boots come in, as they're handmade, it usually takes us about 3 months to get them back in. So there's some time for people to justify the price, but no, they're not
What's the average? What would be an average price, or what's the bottom price?
Well, I think you can start at around anywhere from around $400 and then go up from there. What I typically see is around the $500-$600 mark, and you will have this boot for a lifetime. There, you can have it resold, and every pair of boots that have come out of one of these shows, everyone has loved. I've had many calls from people who actually designed boots at the September show, and everybody loves them. So it's a really great event, and even if you don't want to build boots, we'd love to have you.
What about people who are not in a position right now? It's a dicey economy for a lot of people who are not in a position to spend $400, $500, $600 for a pair of boots. Do you have boots that are less expensive at Crabby Ranch?
I do. I really like to try to give them a ladder, which allows them to maybe get into a boot for substantially less money, see if it's something that fits their lifestyle, something that they like, and then they can progress up to a handmade. We start our boots at about the $150 level. I'm a little bit low on those boots right now, but we'll have new inventory right after probably the 1st of February.
I can tell you that I have really old cowboy boots, and they weren't particularly good to begin with. I don't think I spent very much, and I've had them for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So even not particularly good ones hold up for a very long period of time. So if you buy something that you really, really love and you take good care of it, then I think you really will have it for a lifetime. Any tips on taking care of your cowboy boots if you already have a pair?
Well, no, you know what? I wear mine, as I say, every single day of the week with the exception of Sunday, and I think that just using common sense is always good. Don't wear them in the snow. It's a leather bottom. You don't really need to be sliding around. But I think if you just do general maintenance on them, have them polished, if you feel the need to have it weatherproofed, which I never do, but they're so well constructed. I mean, they're made to be durable. Of course, the ones I have in my store are not necessarily for riding the range with, but I don't think you should ever have a problem, and they will last a lifetime.
Well, I have to pay you a compliment, which I think I've already told you, but I took mine with me. I was just in San Francisco, and I got many compliments, Roxanne, and friends who wanted to call you immediately and order a pair. But I took them into my shoemaker, my longtime shoemaker in San Francisco, who, God bless Marin County, used to be an attorney, but he couldn't stand practicing law, and he preferred being a shoemaker instead. And he took one look at these, and he polished them up for me and conditioned them and did really nice things, and he was, you know, very complimentary. So thank you.
Well, thank you. We love that you're our model out there.
Well, thank you, Roxanne Thurman, who is the owner of Crybaby Ranch in Larimer Square. What should we know as the stock show approaches? How can we look our best, Roxanne? How can we look like cowgirls?
Well, I think you start with the boots. That's the way
You got to put something on over those boots.
Well, you know, a pair of jeans works great. I mean, you can go any direction that you want, but I think the basic element that you need to start with your outfit, be it stock show or not, any other time of the year, is find yourself a great pair of boots that you like, that's comfortable, and then you can just go from there.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
today.
Enid.
Roxanne Thurman, who owns Crybaby Ranch in Larimer Square. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We are focusing on this month's edition, Press Club edition, on the stock show. It starts tomorrow. The tickets are pretty inexpensive. I think it costs roughly about what it would cost to go to a movie if you don't buy the event tickets, you know, like the special events. And you can have a whole day's worth of fun, bring your family. It doesn't have to be expensive, and it's a lot of fun. And we are going to be giving away tickets to the Mexican extravaganza very shortly. Two pairs of tickets, so stay tuned. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Finally, Denver has a talk station it can be proud of. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Winter is just around the corner, and sometimes it's difficult to make ends meet. If either you or your aging relatives are having trouble, you may be able to help them find benefits. AARP and the National Council on the Aging are helping people complete a benefits checkup to find programs that save money on groceries, medical care, energy bills, and more. Call 303-318-6764 to learn more. 303-318-6764. AARP, the power to make it better.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Ronald McDonald House offers comfort, hope, and love by providing a home away from home to out-of-town families receiving medical treatment for their children. They could use your help with donations of non-perishable food items and assistance with meal preparation. Both groups and individuals are needed for volunteer programs. If you can help, please call the Ronald McDonald House at 303-832-2667 or go online to ronaldhouse.org.
Stuck in that T-Rex mess again? Get out of the gridlock. Avoid delays with OnStar Personal Calling and Virtual Advisor. You'll get traffic reports and directions for your location. OnStar. Always there, always ready.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Denver Center Theater Company presents its silver anniversary season and Steve and Vincent Benet's masterful story of the American Civil War, John Brown's Body. January 29th through February 28th. Single tickets are on sale. Now for this richly textured account of the American Civil War, utilizing music from the period and a cast of actors who played roles on both sides of the conflict, tickets for John Brown's Body are on sale now by calling 303-893-4100 or denvercenter.org.
Make sound for it.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Well, sometimes it is hard to be a woman, but someone's got to do it, and it's me today. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club, and the focus of today's show is the stock show, which opens tomorrow officially, and we are now going to give away two pairs of tickets to the Mexican Extravaganza at the National Western Stock Show. The value, I think, of each pair is about $44. It includes free grounds admission. Here is the catch, though. You have got to pick these tickets up before 4:30 today at the station, and the station is right above the old Spaghetti Factory, 18th and Lawrence in Lodo. All right, got that? You got to pick them up. You have to be able to pick them up by 4:30 today at our station, AM 1150 KNRC. We are above the old Spaghetti Factory. Take the steps up, and that's in Lodo, 18th and Lawrence. So if you can do that, this is for the night of January 10th at 7:30 p.m., includes free ground admission, so two pairs of tickets, B caller 3 and B caller 4. And the number to call, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. If you are the third caller, you're going to win a pair of tickets. And if you're the fourth caller, you're going to win a pair of tickets. And since I'm at the press club, I cannot see what's going on. And I'm assuming that the board is lighting up and that we will have a winner. And when we do, Sean McKenzie will tell me who the winner is. But B, this is for January the 10th at 7:30 p.m. And the Mexican extravaganza is really quite an extravaganza. Let me tell you, it's a rodeo extravaganza. It's filled with pageantry. I have seen Jerry Diaz, El Charro de Corazon from San Antonio, Texas. He is terrific. He is really a terrific rider. And they're going to be popular Mexican recording artists. They're going to be featured as well. It is a fabulous evening. Two pairs of tickets that we're giving away, be the caller 3 or caller 4. And you have to come down by 4:30 today to the station, 18th and Lawrence, above the old Spaghetti Factory, to pick them up. But the evening is scheduled for January 10, 7:30 p.m. Don't you go anywhere. One more hour of Enid right here live from the Denver Press Club. It's the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. More as we continue on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Three men are hospitalized, their conditions unknown at this time, following a hazmat spill in Greeley. The accident happened at Florida Certec, which makes computer chips, and involved about 15 gallons of sodium hydrosulfide monohydrate. That's a type of acid. A company spokesman says the acid was spilled as it was being taken off a truck. Firefighters were called to the building after a worker fainted. A Greeley fire spokesman says the responding firefighters didn't know about the spilled acid. Three of them were also overcome by fumes. The building has been evacuated. So far, no other injuries have been reported. Crews have begun the demolition of the Spanish Gate apartment building that was destroyed by fire nearly 2 weeks ago. Brian Shupaw, a project manager for the Denver company in charge of the demolition, explains the initial phase of the operation.
Over the next 2 days, we're going to use the crane to take this five-story building down to a two-story height, where we can bring in excavators and then take the rest of the building down safely.
The entire process will probably take about 10 days. One woman died in the blaze. 40 families lost their homes. A 22-year-old resident of the apartment complex has been arrested and charged with multiple counts, including first-degree murder in connection with that fire. It's shaping up to be a contentious session in the Colorado legislature. Among the first bills proposed in the House today would allow civil unions for at least 10,000 gay couples in Colorado. Netherland Democrat Tom Plant sponsored House Bill 1085 and says if passed, it will not hurt or affect in any way traditional marriages. The bill would authorize county clerks to issue licenses for civil unions between eligible same-sex couples, giving them most of the same benefits granted to married spouses. A similar bill was struck down last session. Other bills proposed today would change the age seniors could renew their licenses by mail from 66 to 61, increase the number of fireworks allowed under state law, and would more than double the fines for speed contests, DUIs, and reckless driving. The former head of the Grand Junction American Red Cross was sentenced to 2 years probation today for theft. John Drenth pleaded guilty to stealing $40,000 from the organization to buy an SUV. A Mesa County Chief District Judge ordered Drenth to pay back the money he stole and spend 60 days in the county's work release program performing 200 hours of community service. Drenth was fired as the chapter's executive director in 2002 after an audit showed money was missing from the Red Cross funds. Prosecutors say the money was intended for victims of the September 11th attack. Instead, Drenth used the money to pay off an existing car loan and buy a 2002 Ford Explorer. They're putting the final touches on the National Western Stock Show, which begins tomorrow. Katie Christensen, a spokeswoman with the National Western Stock Show, says bulls will take center stage at one of this year's new events.
We have a lot of great new events out here this year. For the first time ever, we have a bucking bull sale that happens Thursday, January 15th at 1 p.m., and that is a sale designed to provide bulls to the rodeo industry.
So far, advanced ticket sales are running ahead of last year, and officials think they may break last year's record 641,000 visitors. The Homeland Security Department today lowered the nation's terror alert level from high to elevated in most parts of the country. Harvard terrorism expert Jim Walsh notes the alert system is now two-tiered. Some locations remain at high alert because they are vulnerable to a terrorist attack.
Everyone in the world has heard of Hollywood. They've all heard of Washington. They've all heard of New York City. So I think those continue to be the prime targets. They need to continue to be watchful, but the other parts of the country aren't as threatened and really can't afford to maintain this high level of alert.
Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge wouldn't say which locations remain on high alert, but airports and the airline industry remain under heavy security. Walsh says Al-Qaeda has shown a tendency to stay true to its methods, so it's likely the group could use airplanes to attack a U.S. target again. Former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein has been declared an enemy prisoner of war. The Pentagon made the announcement today and said Saddam is receiving all rights due to him under the Geneva Convention. On Wall Street, just before the close, the major indices were all lower. The Dow is down more than 117 points. The Nasdaq is down 9 points. The S&P 500 is down about 9 and a third. In sports, the Denver Nuggets welcome the Utah Jazz to the Pepsi Center tonight. In the first game the two teams have played this season, Nuggets are coming off their win over the L.A. Lakers Wednesday night at the Pepsi Center. Time for an oil change. Buy 6 quarts of Valvoline MaxLife motor oil on AutoZone and get a bottle of MaxLife fuel system cleaner for free after mail-in rebate. See store for details. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live. It's the new year. How about a new you?
Aspen Grove, the fabulous open-air shopping center located at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton, is sponsoring the New Year, New You Makeover for one lucky man or woman or a couple. Winners will receive new hairstyles from Avalon Day Spa, makeup by the professionals at Origins, and a dinner for two on Valentine's Day for your reveal.
And that's not all. Each winner will receive a $1,000 shopping spree at Aspen Grove.
To enter, write 50 words or less on why you deserve this makeover. Include your photo. Drop this off at the Aspen Grove Management Office or the J. Crew Store.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6. Call them at 303-794-0640. 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
No purchase necessary. Employees and family members of KNRC and Aspen Grove Management are ineligible. Qualifiers will be chosen at random. Entries must be received by February 6th at the Aspen Grove Management Office or Aspen Grove J. Crew Store. For complete rules, stop at the Aspen Grove Management Office.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Northbound I-25 at Evans. Well, big surprise there, a multi-car accident. The north and southbound I-25 at Louisiana got a crash either direction, so even further along, it's going to be a real mess for you. John Elway's year-end celebration has special holiday prices on over 7,000 new and used vehicles with no payments for 3 months. Check the paper's John Elway Buyer's Guide and head to an Elway showroom near you. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. You can pretty much consider today a preview to the weekend ahead as the ridge of high pressure simply gets stronger. We're keeping sunny skies during the day, clear skies at night, right into the beginning of next week. And temperatures? Terrific. Highs today in the low to mid-50s. Overnight lows tonight in the mid-20s. We'll be near 60 on Saturday, back in the 50s on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under sunny skies, it's 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
seven minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We are coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. The focus of the show is the Sox Show. We always have a focus for each one of our Denver Press Club shows. And the Sox Show begins officially tomorrow. And with me, two people, Charlotte Trago, who was formerly the editor of Cattle Guard magazine, a cattle magazine, and covered rodeo for Women's Wear Daily. And also Steve Knopper, who is a freelance writer. He has a piece in today's Rocky Alone on the Range. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Charlotte, you need to talk right into the microphone and talk to me about your career covering rodeo for Women's Wear Daily. What was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful. First of all, I want to welcome you to the Denver Press Club.
Thank you.
Very nice of you to be here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I had a pen name named Wanda D., and that was the name of the bucking horse of the year. The Canadian bucking horse of the year was the only mare up to that point that had ever been declared bucking horse of the year.
Did they have to elect that mare? Oh, never mind.
No, I don't know how exactly it happened. But while I was covering the rodeo at Calgary for Women's Wear, I was the first woman that they allowed in the arena. And this particular horse was being retired. And she was given such honor. They put roses hanging around her neck and brushed her up, and she came out into the arena. And I said to this Canadian cowboy, I said, boy, if I could be retired like that at the end of my career, I would be a very happy person. And he said, well, lady, why don't you take her name? So I approached the Canadian Cowboys, and they gave me the right to take her name, which was Wanda D.
So you became Wanda D when you were covering rodeo fashion for Women's Wear Daily?
Yes, I use it.
And you were also editor of a cattle magazine?
That was earlier.
Yeah, what was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Really?
Called Cattle Guard. It's Colorado Cattlemen's Magazine. And in those days, there weren't that many opportunities for women in journalism. And I was very happy to find this particular position.
Well, I'm surprised they wouldn't want to give it to a man. Why would the Cattlemen's Association want to give the editorship to a woman when it's such a macho profession, especially in that time and place? What year are we talking about?
Well, I'm not seeing how long ago it was.
Don't tell me how long.
But primarily because I would work for so much less of what they could get a man to work for.
So you got to be a
macho. So I got to be there, and it was such fun.
Did you meet interesting cowboys?
Oh, yes. Just wonderful. The ranchers are marvelous people. And the offices were in the stockyards.
How long did you do that?
3 years.
And what did you learn that served you well later in life? Editing a cattle magazine, a cattleman's magazine, and then later covering rodeos and rodeo wear for Women's Wear Daily.
Well, I'm from Colorado, and my grandmother was a homesteader in eastern Colorado. My father was born on the prairies. So I've always loved Western history. I've loved Colorado history. And it was an opportunity for me to apply everyday life to our history and to search out those people who were actually living what I considered living history. And I guess I learned more than anything was to keep a sense of humor no matter what happens.
What does it mean to be a real Coloradan? Since I'm new, I've only been in Colorado for a year and a half officially.
To be a what?
A real Coloradan. What are some of the virtues that you think are, is it about independence? Is it about thinking for yourself? Is it about a kind of hardiness that is required of, if you were an early settler to the state of Colorado? What are some of the virtues that distinguish Coloradans?
I suppose traditionally it's an appreciation for space. Not only physical space, but allowing space to other people and other circumstances. I think an emphasis on self-sufficiency, if possible. Not so much independence, because that's probably humanly impossible. But and I think above all is to allow always for an opportunity for a new experience, that there's an optimism about the future.
There's also an energy, a hard-working kind of ness, I think, to Colorado, and what I've seen also an appreciation of eccentricity, which I love. I personally love eccentricity. Steve Knopfler, talk to me about your piece today in the Rocky Mountain News called Alone on the Range. You're a freelance writer. You specialize primarily, even though you're writing about Home on the Range, you're writing usually about music?
Yes, correct.
What kind of music?
I write about rock and pop and sometimes country, as I did in this article.
Today. And where do you usually write besides the Rocky Mountain News? Who are you writing for? Right into the microphone.
Sorry, whoever pays, pretty much. But
I
write for Rolling Stone magazine and occasionally Spin and the Chicago Tribune and a lot of other publications.
I sometimes write for the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, yeah?
And you and I talked about Ben. Yeah, Ben Fongtorres is a good friend of mine.
Don't know him. Yeah,
from Rolling Stone magazine. What about Home on the Range? What were you telling us in the piece today in the Rocky?
Basically, the story is about how it's about country music, and it's about how there's two gigantic fixtures. Heritage things here in Denver that have been dominant for years. KYGO, the country radio station, has been number one in the market for years. And the Grizzly Rose, which is the great country club off the highway in Denver, is always full. It's doing great right now. It gets all these wonderful country artists.
It is an entertainment venue?
Yes, it's a country music club.
Where is it?
It's right off Highway 25, right in the city of Denver. I don't know the exact address off the top of my head, but as you're coming up 25,
what about our sister station, KCUV?
I mentioned that. It's a relatively new station and trying to get a footing, and it's a great station. But the point I was trying to make in the article is that despite these fixtures in Colorado, there's not really much of a local country scene. There's not really that many country artists from here, and the ones that are here are a little bit frustrated because in order to make it big to any extent, they have to go to Nashville, where the country scene is, where the country industry is, and they have to do all their recording and all their business-type stuff and all their showcases there in order to get big. And there's a bit of a frustration there for that, especially given Colorado's history in country music, which is quite extensive.
Give me a history of country music, because when I think of country music, that is what I think of. I think of Nashville.
Yeah.
And are there a lot of recording facilities in Denver or in the area?
Sure. There's a lot of recording facilities.
High-level recording facilities?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
really
there's
good?
Some. I mean, certainly not to the extent that Nashville or L.A. or New York City have, but if you want to be a local artist here, you can make records. It's certainly possible in all genres. I'm talking about all genres now, not necessarily just country. But in terms of trying to make it big and getting the right connections, to get the kind of exposure that you need in order to be a country artist, you need to go to Nashville. And often, in order to be a successful rock or pop artist, you need to go to L.A. or New York.
Right. But give me a taste of the history of Colorado when it comes to country and Western music, for example.
Sure. I mean, it's not a consistent history, but the kind of highlight time was in the 70s when, John Denver moved to Aspen in the late 60s, and then in the 70s, Denver and Boulder, and especially Boulder, were quite a haven for country rock artists in particular. Some members of the Eagles lived here in the mountains for a while. Willie Nelson, from what I've read, actually had a home in the mountains for a brief period in the 70s. And there were all these clubs in Boulder.
Well, maybe he was just high and thought he was in the mountains.
That could have well been it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But there were all these clubs in Boulder, Tulagi, and all these different clubs, and they had Colorado and Boulder in particular became very well known for country rock, which was huge in the 70s with the Eagles and Poco and Firefall. There's a guy named Jock Bartley who is you know the mastermind behind the band Firefall, and they had a lot of hits in the 70s.
Did people who started out in Colorado music, country music, for example, and needed to take it elsewhere to take it to the next level, do we have some big names here who started here and managed to develop, besides John Denver and some of the more obvious?
Right. In recent years, in the country genre in particular, there's not a great deal of people who have made it big on a national scale. There's different people who have done different things. There's a local artist named Chuck Pyle who's been around, a singer-songwriter, and he's been around for years, and he's doing great. There's a guy named Michael Martin Murphy who is puts on a festival every year, and he's a legendary country guy, and he's been doing fine. I wrote in the story about a young 16-year-old country artist named Aubrey Collins, who has put out one album and kind of has all the machinery in place, and she's kind of hoping and seems to have a credible claim on the idea of her being a relatively big star sometime in the next few years.
She's 16 years old.
She's 16 years old, and she's sort of in the Leanne Rimes kind of tradition of recent country stars who have been much younger. So, but she's one of the people who's doing great, but is a little bit frustrated that she has to, whenever she wants to do anything to make it big, she has to take these grueling driving trips to Nashville and sometimes planes. And
to what do you ascribe that? Here we are, we're in Denver. This is, why? I mean, I know that things take root in certain places, and in Nashville you have the Bluebird Cafe, and you have lots of things going on. You have a whole industry centered in Nashville, but why so little music here?
Well,
is it to do with the geography? In some ways, in some ways it's isolated. I mean, you have, now there's plane service all the time, but for many years it was not so easy to get to Denver.
Right. Well, there's a bunch, and I address this a little bit in the story, but there's a bunch of different answers to that question. I mean, in the country genre in particular, one reason is that we have so many different things around us, such as the Greeley Stampede and the Cheyenne Frontier Days and all these giant events, the Colorado State Fair, and often country artists will come to those events, the big artists like George Strait and those kind of people, they'll come to those events, play once and say, okay, that's it. I'm just going to that place in the
we
area.
We get these big names. Bruce Springsteen, Denver is a big stop. They must make a lot of money when those groups come here, because a lot of them come here.
But Denver in particular is really centrally located for that kind of thing. I mean, if you're any kind of touring band and you want to go from the East Coast to the West Coast or vice versa, you basically have to stop through Denver, or else it's not worth your while.
But Denver also must be very remunerative because there are so many of the groups that come through. I figure they're making a fortune because we're starved for a kind of...
Right, and in rock, that's true. I mean, that's one thing I've tried to address in the story is that, Springsteen and all those people come and play the rock venues in Denver, the Pepsi Center, the Fillmore Auditorium, that sort of thing. The country artists don't always come, and Shania Twain did play the Pepsi Center and a few others, big ones, but often these country artists will go to the peripheral huge festivals, the Colorado State Fair and so forth, and as a result, they won't necessarily come to Denver, and so the metro area doesn't necessarily have a country scene. It's kind of spread out. All the Colorado country fans are kind of trained to go to all these festivals in this huge wide range, and that kind of spreads it out, and I think that there's a trickle-down effect on local artists, and they tend to not become huge stars because of that.
My two guests in the segment, if you're just tuning in, Steve Knopper, who is a freelance writer. He's got a piece in today's Rocky, Alone on the Range, talking about music and country music specifically, and also Charlotte Trago, who once edited a cattleman's magazine called Cattle Guard, and she covered for a long time rodeo for Women's Wear Daily.
Well, for several publications.
And for other publications as well.
For Women's Wear here in the Denver Bureau.
Talk right into it.
So I was
How do you see the changes? You know, longtime observer of the stock show, any observations that you want to make? It starts tomorrow.
Well, yes, I see a lot of changes. Primarily a sort of straying away from some of the more traditional presentations and traditional humor, traditional clothing. It's become much more of almost like more of a show. It was rather than just the stock show and in a very traditional Western rodeo. So now it seems to encompass, for example, the Mexican rodeo, which is a very beautiful and exciting event. And but it's more of a drama than it is just cowboy competitions.
More entertainment.
More entertainment. That's a good
thing. And Steve, you going to the stock show, could it be more of a venue for country music than it probably will be?
The stock show itself, yeah. Or you mean the Denver area?
No, the stock show. The stock show. It could have been incorporated into it, which takes again away more from the traditional what a stock show is all about.
Sure.
But could there have been more of a presence? There's not much of a presence.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a huge opportunity, the stock show. I know I was talking to the owner of the Grizzly Rose, and she was saying that the 2 weeks the stock show's in town, their attendance quadruples.
Right.
And so that's something that they look forward to every year. So yeah, it's obviously there's the market there.
But the stock show really doesn't do much in the way of showcasing the music aspect.
Frankly, you've got me there because I actually haven't followed the lineups at the stock show this year. I'm aware that there is some music, but I don't know how much.
Thank you to both of you for joining us today. Charlotte Trago, who has covered rodeo for Women's Wear Daily and a number of other publications, and Steve Knopper, who's a freelance writer, has a piece in today's Rocky Alone on the Range. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you very much.
And we still have, I'm told, one pair of tickets to the Mexican Extravaganza to give away, and that's at the National Western Stock Show. It's going to occur January 10th at 7:30 p.m. It includes free ground admission. The value of the pair of tickets is $44, but the catch is you have to pick up the tickets today at the station. At the station before 4:30 today, and the station is at 18th and Lawrence. We're right above the old Spaghetti Factory. So if you can pick up that pair of tickets before 4:30 today, that means you've got 2 hours to do it. And you're the second caller, 303-382-1150. Be the second caller, 303-382-1150. You're going to have a wonderful evening at the Mexican Extravaganza, which is January the 10th at 7:30 p.m. As I said, it includes free ground admission. So be the second caller, you've won yourself a pair of tickets. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
A station built by Coloradans for Denver and Colorado. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. AM 1150 KNRC proudly sponsors Mutts and Models, a celebrity fashion show and dance on Friday, January 16 at 7 p.m. at the Gothic Theater. This fashion extravaganza benefits Harrison Memorial Animal Hospital, Colorado's only nonprofit vet hospital, providing services at reduced prices for pets whose owners are low income. That's Mutts and Models, Friday, January 16 at the Gothic Theater. Purchase tickets online at blacktie-colorado.com or call 303-722-2100.
Put your hands together when you recognize it.
Sunday weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:24 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. And the focus of today's show is the stock show, which opens officially tomorrow and goes on until the 25th. So January 10th to the 25th, the National Western Complex, the National Western Stock Show, Rodeo, and Horse Show coincides with the Cowboy Poetry Festival. And, of course, no show devoted to the stock show or to cowboys in general would be complete without a cowboy and a cowboy poet. Joining us is Howard Parker. Howard, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're quite welcome.
Well, you're more of an entertainer than you are a poet, and you are a rancher. Tell me how you. This is a kind of a complicated existence. How'd you become a cowboy entertainer? What does that mean exactly?
Well, I write my own songs for the most part, and my own poetry for the most part, and I consider myself more of an entertainer than I do poet, as you'd think of Rudyard Kipling or Robert W. Service or someone like that.
So you began life, what, as a rancher in, are you in Nebraska?
Yes, I'm in Nebraska.
And what do you do in Nebraska when you're not being a cowboy poet or entertainer?
I tend to a bunch of cows.
Were they your first audience? If they laughed and mooed, you knew that you were moving them to action.
No, actually, my first audience that I
how'd you go from being a rancher to an entertainer? I mean, it's an odd combination.
Oh, I'd always loved poetry and good stories. And I come from a musical family. My brothers all played music, and my dad played music. And so it was just sort of natural to go on with that. And I just started, I'd put down a few of my own experiences and things like that, and things that I had heard of, and put it into poems or stories or something like that, songs, and that's the way I got started.
What are you going to be doing at the Cowboy Poetry Festival?
Well, I'll be on the afternoon matinee show tomorrow, and I'll do a combination of songs and poetry and songs.
Well, you want to give us a taste of it?
Well, you know,
can you do this by memory?
Oh, I hope so.
What do you win if you win the Cowboy Poetry? You know, what if you win at the Cowboy Poetry Festival? Or do they have a Cowboy Poetry Slam? Do you do slams?
No.
Okay.
They don't. I mean, they have a few cowboy poetry contests, but I've never gone to one.
Is there a winner, or does everybody?
No,
just present
everyone's
them?
Hired as a performer.
Oh, so you're hired?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So this is a paying gig.
Right.
Oh, all the better.
Yes. I couldn't come if I wasn't guaranteed a check. You can't leave your cows to their own devices.
Well, who's taking care of the cows while you're here? You've got people who are doing it?
Well, my ex-wife does a wonderful job of taking care of things while I'm gone.
Well, this is a very good use for an ex-wife. Okay, so here you are. Give us a hint of the cowboy poetry that you do.
Okay, there are a lot of the cowgirl poets around now, too, as well as the cowboy poets, and they have some real good stuff. A lot of it has to do with the fact they can get up early in the morning and get their husband dressed, find a pair of socks that are mates for him and things like that, and ride all morning and come in and always have a hot meal waiting and everything. But the old-time ranch women that I remember, this was a old gal I knew, and boy, she didn't have much resemblance to the Hollywood kind that you see in the movies. The only real resemblance she had to the Hollywood kind was she did pack a Colt pistol every day of her life, and while she never actually killed anybody, she shot at several of them. And this is my tribute to old-time ranch women. You've heard of old-time ranch women, and I've known some in my days. They could take on any cowboy and beat him 40 ways. The men folk in their life had run off or up and died, but they held the place together and raised a family on the side. They weren't much for amusement, frivolity, or fun. They didn't have no quitting time, just worked till they got done. They battled all the elements, the sun and wind and snow, and their clothes would make old Rawhide look like a style show. But then I've watched them on the silver screen, and I've seen them on TV, and their contribution to the West is a bafflement to me. Because at any little problem, they'll just stand around and weep, and they couldn't find an Angus cow out in a flock of sheep. But she wears a brand new Stetson tilted back on curly locks, and it's shaped just the way it was the day it come out of the box. And her blouse just has one button. It's setting mighty low, and she's got things some girls would kill for that are just about to show. But the ranch in grave danger. She just might lose it all. Crooked sheriff, crooked banker. They're foreclosing in the fall. Then loping across the sagebrush, mounted on a fiery steed, it's John Wayne to the rescue of this damsel in dire need. And there'll be fist fights then and gunplay, and the maid is overjoyed to be saved from situations any halfwit could avoid. But there'll be a happy ending. Old John saves the ranch, you know, and they ride off in the sunset at the ending of the show. But the ranch women I've known got just this much to say. They darn sure didn't need John Wayne. He'd have just got in their way.
Very good. Talk to me about ranch life as a what it must be very hard.
Well, it's you never know what's going to happen this year.
You got mad cow to deal
we
with. Is your ranch personally affected by mad cow?
We had the best price this fall for our calves, and they weighed the most that we have ever had. And every fall I say I'm going to sell off a bunch of cows and won't have to work so hard in the winter. So instead I went to the sale barn and bought a load of cows, and the next day mad cow disease was on TV.
Oh, no.
But I don't think it'll make that much difference in the United States. I sure hope not. They've proven that that cow came from Canada, and the United States, nothing in the United States has been fed byproduct feed for years and years. So any United States cattle should be safe from that. And besides that, you've got way more chance of being struck by lightning than you have with mad cow disease. I mean,
there is a lot of beef was en route to Korea and Japan, and they won't accept it. So all this beef, nobody knows what's it's millions and millions and millions of dollars of beef. They won't accept it because of mad cow, and so it's got nowhere to go, and it's going to have some effect, I would think, on the prices in this country.
Yes, it will.
What you're going to get for your cattle.
Oh, yeah, but we've had it before. We've had blizzards, and we've had this and that. I mean, live a rough life if you're...
What time do you get? Give me an idea of what your life is like as a Nebraska rancher. What time do you get up in the morning, and what do you start doing, and what time do you go to bed at night? And when do you have time to write poetry?
Go to bed at 6:30 at night and get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Is that it? Really?
Well, it's pretty close. No, sometimes I stay up till it gets dark, you know. And as far as to write poetry... I mean, something has to really strike me as an inspiration, and then I can sit down and write. But just to sit down and say, I'm going to write a poem today, that'd be the farthest thing from my mind. I couldn't possibly do it. Or if I did, I'd throw it away afterwards.
How did you become an entertainer? How did that happen?
Well, I don't know. I guess the first time I ever entertained an audience, we went to an old country school when I was a small boy, you know, out in the midst of nowhere. I was in kindergarten, and I was supposed to sing a Christmas song all by myself, I think up on the rooftop or some sort of thing like that. But I was very patriotic, and I had an uncle at Pearl Harbor. He was on the USS Utah, the first ship that went down. And when it came my turn to do my Christmas carol, I got up and said, I've changed my mind, and I sang Praise the Lord and passed the ammunition. So I guess I've always had it in me to do whatever I wanted to, entertainment-wise.
And so here you are. You're going to be at the Cowboy Poetry Festival. Where is it held, and how can people attend?
It's at the Arvada Center, and they can attend by going there and buying a ticket. And
you know how much the tickets cost?
I have no idea. I'm not a businessman in
okay.
that way.
And when is it? And when can they hear you? When are you going to be appearing?
I'll be on the matinee tomorrow afternoon at the theater part. They have four rooms there that they have continuous sessions going in the rooms at all times in the morning and the afternoon. But then they'll have a Saturday matinee, which I'll be on. Then they'll have a Saturday. They'll have a night show tonight. They'll have a Saturday matinee tomorrow. They'll have a Saturday night show, and then they'll have a Sunday matinee.
So it's just for this weekend.
Right.
And you go to the Arvada Center.
Right.
And it's the Cowboy Poetry Festival, and you will have a wonderful time if you go and if you have the chance to hear Howard Parker, who has been kind enough to be our guest. Are you going to be going to the stock show?
No.
You're not going to have a chance to do that?
Well, there's just nothing like in that way that interests me anymore. I used to rodeo quite a bit and things like that, but I'm like Groucho Marx when he said he no longer watched the Playboy Channel because he didn't like to see people do things he couldn't do anymore, so I don't go and watch rodeos much anymore.
I'm not sure he ever... I'm happy to know he finally admitted that he couldn't...
Well, it took him a while.
Yeah, it took him a while. He had that reputation for not being much limited in that respect. Howard Parker, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have a cowboy entertainer and cowboy poet. And we have given away all the tickets to the Mexican Extravaganza, so congratulations to all the winners. Got to pick up your tickets by 4:30 today at the station, which is above the old Spaghetti Factory, 18th and Lawrence. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We are focusing on the stock show, and you are listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom and an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 51 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Waterway Gas and Wash. One worker and three firefighters have gone to the hospital following a hazmat spill at a computer chip manufacturing plant in Greeley. About 15 gallons of an acid spilled at the plant as it was being taken off a truck. The building was evacuated. No other injuries were reported. Crews have begun tearing down the apartment building in Glendale that was destroyed by fire recently. The demolition project will take about 10 days. One woman died in the fire, which was intentionally set. A 22-year-old resident of the apartment complex faces numerous charges, including first-degree murder in connection with that fire. A Democratic legislator from Netherlands has introduced a bill in the state legislature to make legal civil unions for at least 10,000 gay couples in Colorado. Tom Plant-sponsored House Bill 1085 says if it passes, it will not hurt or affect traditional marriages. In sports, the Denver Nuggets playing host tonight to the Utah Jazz. Nuggets are coming off their drubbing of the L.A. Lakers on Wednesday night. The best car wash in town has the best winter protection package for you. Waterway Car Wash will help you fight off winter slush, grime, salt, and road acids. Visit today. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
Frankly, it's difficult to imagine that a breed of men as fierce and warlike as the Scots ever learned to embrace the niceties of a civilized life, much less advance them. I mean, there they were, traipsing around the wee glen in nothing but their bagpipes. And next thing you know, they've invented distilled liquor. Now it's Sean Connery, the Highland Games. Why, they're even making stained glass right here in Colorado. Beautiful stained glass. Extraordinary, really, that everyone can appreciate. Even men like myself. Real men, who don't feel the need to toss around telephone poles in a pathetic attempt to compensate for the notion that their forefathers wore skirts.
English swine. Did you not see Braveheart? Hi, this is Martin Faith, the owner of Scottish Stained Glass. If you want to make a unique statement in your home, think leaded glass. It's private, beautiful to look at, and surprisingly affordable, with prices starting at just $145, including insulation. For a free in-home consultation, call us at 303-766-3811. 303-766-3811.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by GM OnStar. Still trying to get an accident. Multi-car accident out of the way. Northbound I-25 at Evans. Watch for major delays into the tech center. Southbound and northbound I-25 at Louisiana have two problems, one in each direction. So watch for delays there as well. If you're stuck in that mess on northbound I-25, you can get out of the gridlock and avoid delays with OnStar personal calling and virtual advisor. You'll get traffic reports and directions for your location. OnStar, always there, always ready. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our big ridge of high pressure will strengthen, leaving us wide open for the weekend. Just a gorgeous couple of days ahead. With a mix of sun and clouds through the afternoon, we'll top out today in the low to mid-50s. Tonight, we're back into the mid-20s. And then we're a little closer to 60 with sunshine on Saturday, back in the 50s on Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 51 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
The number one mega bestseller, The South Beach Diet, has shown millions how to lose weight fast. Now, The South Beach Diet Good Fats, Good Carbs Guide gives you even more foods you love to keep off the weight you don't. No cravings, no starving, no guesswork, no counting calories. The South Beach Diet by Dr. Arthur Agatston, changing the way America eats. From Rodale, available wherever books are sold, or visit www.southbeachdiet.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Losses are mounting on Wall Street. Inside the final hour of trading, Dow Industrials now down 112 points. The S&P 500 losing 8. NASDAQ is also down 8 points. But the buyers are mad for rapid bio tests after the company announced plans to develop a rapid diagnostic test for mad cow disease. Rapid Bio says it wants to come up with an effective way to either treat the disease or at least slow it down. The stock is one of the day's best performers, up 88%. Another big winner, a company called SpaceDev. It makes products used in space, like satellites and rocket propulsion systems. And traders are betting this firm will benefit from the president's new plan to return to the moon and eventually go to Mars. SpaceDev stock right now up 57%. Microsoft jumping into bed with eBay. Company says the latest version of its MSN Internet service will be able to take auctions, track them rather, and make transactions on eBay. eBay stock, though, still down over a half dollar. Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:42 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours live from the Denver Press Club until 3. The focus of today's show is the stock show, which opens officially tomorrow. You know we do these shows once a month live from the Denver Press Club. And with us, Pat Grant, who's the president and CEO of the National Western Stock Show. Pat, thanks so much for joining us today.
Enid, I couldn't be happier to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that you are here. I am curious to know, because I fell in love with it when I last year we did actually the we did our show. We were very new. We had only just signed on very recently, and so our technical abilities were even more primitive than they are today. And we did the show live from the stock show, and then I came back two or three times because I fell in love with it. And it occurs to me that so much goes on behind the scenes that we never see. You know, we see it as a public. We come in for right. that couple of weeks in January, and we don't know what goes into it. Give us an idea of what does and how you're doing it all you know, the whole year. What is involved?
Enid, you're exactly right. This is a year-long planning process. Right after the show is over, the full-time staff meets in a retreat, and we critique ourselves. We try and analyze what we did wrong, what we can do to improve, how we can be better at what we do. And that really is the beginning of a long-term, long-range, year-long planning effort. Out of that retreat, we then begin to develop marketing ideas, new program ideas. We have several marketing meetings, and then that starts to move into the budgeting process. And so by the end of the fiscal year and beginning of the new fiscal year, and that is about April 1, April 15, we have pretty much of our program established.
How long have you been the president and CEO?
For 13 years. This is my 14th year.
What was your background? What were the...
Well...
Does anybody go to college or to go to school to become president and CEO of the National Western Sox Show? What propelled you into it?
Actually, I grew up on a farm west of Littleton, and my father was horse show manager and a member of the executive committee. So from my youth, I followed Dad around and sat in the judge's box at the rodeo and ate caramel corn and all the rest of the goodies and jammed my mouth full of that. And so from about age five on, so all my life I've been associated with it.
You have? I mean, were you doing something else before you actually assumed this position, or were you doing something else with the stock show? Have you done any other work besides with the stock show in your professional career?
I was a member of the Carter State House of Representatives, a member of the legislature for 8 years.
Well, forgive me. I'm new to Colorado.
No
I'm so
problem.
Sorry.
No problem.
I should have known all of that.
No problem.
We should have had a bio on you.
No problem. It's better not to go into that.
Well, your political career must have given you a lot of muscle here, or a lot of talent in dealing with all the political issues that have to come up in any event where you have competing interests.
Enid, in fact...
You have to be part psychiatrist. You should have gone to medical school and become a psychiatrist, too, I would imagine.
No. In fact, Enid, when I was in the legislature, I did represent part of Denver, and so I became very familiar with a lot of Denver issues as they related statewide to what's going on. And so my background, both in rural Colorado from a farm and in ranching to the state house, gave me a broad background that I think the forefathers and the
foremothers,
ancestors from which I sort of evolved, said, Pat, you ought to come out to the stock show and help us run it.
What would we be surprised to know about what goes on behind the scenes at the stock show?
The incredible amount of coordination, hard work, professionalism it takes with lots of top-notch quality staff people, and we've got terrific staff. We've got the best staff in the country.
What can we look forward to in this stock show?
We have some new events. Number one, we've got a new specialty act in the rodeo that should make people delighted. We've got what we call Radical Ryan Rodriguez, who's a clown, a new clown, and we're just bringing him for the first time. He does specialty acts. We're excited to have him. We're having for the first time, Enid, the Bucking Bull Sale on Thursday afternoon, January 15. Now, that's where we bring bulls in, and it's organized by a cowboy, an announcer out of Texas, Bob Tallman, who's in the business of raising, breeding, and bull stock. And he's bringing some of this stock to Denver, and he's actually going to auction it off.
The first time this has happened?
First time ever.
Bucking
bull stock, and it's a bucking bull sale. And there are several of these sales down in Texas, but we felt that there was a market here in Denver.
Who buys
and north.
A bucking bull? Why would you want one unless you're a rider to train? Is that why you
Enid,
want one?
Enid.
I know. These are the most incredibly dumb questions you've ever heard.
Right after
life.
This broadcast, you can become a stock contractor. You need to come to that sale. You need
but
to bid on that
what
sale.
What do you use a bucking bull for? For the bull riding?
For the bull riding.
But there's no other reason for a bucking bull.
Correct.
All right.
And
they have to be taught to buck?
No.
Or is that something that they do naturally and they have to be guided along certain lines?
They naturally do that, and their breeding concentrates on those bucking qualities. So it's part of their blood. It's part of their genetics. They know what they're doing. They know what their life purpose is.
And then the end product of all those bucking bulls is something that's used in business every day, but we won't go there.
It's all part of the National Western.
My guest is Pat Grant, who's the president and the CEO of the National Western Stock Show. So you are in facilities that you're beginning to outgrow, aren't you?
We have two major issues. And number one, frankly, candidly, is our rodeo is in the Coliseum. That Coliseum is 50 years old, and we are finding, Enid, that it is increasingly hard to compete for that discretionary dollar among all the good people of Denver metro area. because they can go to Coors Field, they can go to Mile High Field Field at Mile High.
What's the general admission this year for the stock show?
It's very low. It's $7 or $8. I don't have.
So it's like going to a movie.
Oh, it's very good value for low price.
Okay.
But we're finding that it's increasingly hard to compete for people because the building does not have the amenities. The air is not very good. Now, we've had a long and very good relationship with the city and county of Denver. We are a partner of Denver. We are a partner of Denver in making this a terrific event, an international event, truly. But as we do that, as we grow, we're also understanding that we're in need of expanded facilities. We have no more room for indoor stalling of horses, cattle, swine, or hogs, and lambs. We have no more room. What we can do now is by creative scheduling, by very careful coordination of move in, of move out, of different animals, different breeds, we can control the activity and do so in a very high quality professional way, but we're finding we are just about to burst from the seams.
Do you want the city to buy you some bigger complex that you can rent out to other entities throughout the year when you're not using it for the stock show?
Well, clearly the January show is a huge show and it's a critical show, but we want to continue the partnership. We want to celebrate the partnership that's been a wonderful partnership for the last 98 years. And not only in January do we have that facility need, but year-round. We think we've got a wonderful trade show facility for activities from February through December. And some of those shows, Enid, want to go and leave Denver.
Because there's not sufficient facility for them.
Correct.
And you operate the facilities, managing the facilities for the stock show, you operate them all year round for the city of Denver for other shows that come in
For all the buildings north of I-70. Now, the city does own, operate, manage the Coliseum, and they've done a fine job.
Do they get some of the profits of the stock show? Is there some kind of a split that goes on?
No, because they know that it's our effort that goes into making these shows come to the complex, and they are the beneficiary of enormous economic impact as a result of all these shows.
How have the numbers been in the last, and we only have a couple of seconds, how have the numbers been in the last couple of years? Attendance up every year?
Oh, absolutely. The numbers have strong. Last year we had a record attendance of 641,000 people.
And what are you expecting this year? Are you projecting this year?
We're projecting right around that figure, 645, 650.
Well, I look forward to going. I have a great time at the stock show. Pat Grant, thank you so much for joining us today, President and CEO of the National Western Stock Show.
Enid, thanks very much. Delighted to be here. Come on out, and we'll show you a good time.
Well, thank you for a good time. Call Enid. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
We don't have to call San Antonio or Atlanta to get permission like some Denver stations do. Local talk, both sides, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and pianist Chris O'Reilly for a performance of Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 2 on January 9th, 10th, and 11th. This masterworks performance includes Mozart and more. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
the KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities presents the 14th Annual Cowboy Poetry Gathering, January 9th through the 12th. This four-day event features a lineup of 38 cowboys and ranchers from 14 states who will capture the spirit and lifestyle of the West through poetry, song, and verse. For hours, information, and to purchase tickets, visit the Arvada Center's website at www.arvadacenter.com or call 720-898-7200.
Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money, now with free, customized email alerts that can save you money.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
Kofi Annan, head of the United Nations, Secretary General, who is a confused man, above all else. Not a bad man, confused, ineffective. He's a PR guy, but he can't run that organization. Nobody could. He doesn't want to give Saddam the death penalty. It's not congratulations to the USA, and all of the United Nations applauds America for the sacrifice of the American military who have been killed. No, no, no. Oh, no. None of that. No, we just can't give him the death penalty. So, you know, Kofi, you can stop it, with all due respect.
Bill O'Reilly. Weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Lanny Garrett.
Well, I'm just a bartender, and I don't like. But I don't mind the money at all.
Hi, I'm Dominic Barasha.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:55 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We've been focusing on the stock show, which opens officially tomorrow and runs until the 25th at the National Western Complex. It's the National Western Stock Show, Rodeo, and Horse Show. And the man who puts it together for us every time we do our shows live from the Denver Press Club is Denver Press Club president and reporter for the Rocky Mountain News, John Enslin. John, you did a bang-up job today again. Thank you. You hit a home run.
Thank you, Enid.
Thank you so much. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Tell us what was coming up. What is coming up for the press club?
Well,
give us a heads up.
A couple interesting things. This week, tickets went on sale for the biggest event the press club does all year round. It's called the Damon Runyon Banquet. Damon Runyon, some of you may know, listeners, was a columnist around the turn of the century. He started in Denver, worked for the Post and the News.
He also wrote Guys and Dolls.
Uh-huh. Whoops. You can tell we're in a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
He was an early member of this club. And we have given out the Damon Runyon Award over the last 10 years to a nationally known journalist. It's gone to people like Tom Brokaw, Ted Turner, Maureen Dowd, Molly Ivins, Herb Kane, Mike Royko. It's great names.
Last year to Ed Bradley of 60 Minutes.
Exactly. That was a fun event.
Oh, it was a wonderful event. I attended that event, and it was easy. It's really easy to meet these people and talk to them and watch them, and there's a banquet, and what else happens. There's
They've been very accessible over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're very happy because we got a great, I think a good Runyon-esque winner this year.
You have a wonderful winner this
year. You know
him,
right?
I don't know him personally, but I know his work, and I just think he is a delicious writer. He's terrific to read.
Carl Hiaasen is not only a great novelist, some people have called him the Mark Twain of the mystery novel, because he writes not just mystery novels, but kind of social satires. And he's got a great, wicked sense of humor.
And he's also a columnist for the Miami Herald.
A twice-a-week columnist for the Miami Herald, where he's usually taking on land developers and trying to save the manatee. Manatees, for those of you landlocked folks, are these big, enormous mammals.
Smelly
fish that always seem to get caught in propellers and get chopped up. But Carl's a good guy. We had him here as a guest once at a lunch on Deadline about 4 or 5 years ago. He's a great speaker. And, you know, in many ways, his writing is like Runyon's. He writes fiction about these kind of colorful, low-life characters on the edge of society. I mean, For Runyon, it was the mobsters and the hoods and guys and dolls, you know, nicely Johnson, mm-hmm. and Nathan Detroit. And with Carl, it's like Governor Skank, I think, he has one character. Yeah.
And what else have you got? And that's in April. And don't have to be a member to attend.
No.
If you're
no.
not a member, what does it cost you? $100?
It's $100 to come to the banquet, $75 if you're a member.
Okay.
And if you want information, the number is 303-571-5260 or our website, www.denverpressclub.org.
And you did State of Colorado this morning?
We did. We did a 25th anniversary.
Was it you and was Bruce?
Bruce, yes.
Bruce Goldberg together?
We had a great show today because Don Kinney, who was the originator of the program, sent us an email and pointed out this week is the 25th anniversary of the show.
So you do a wonderful job. We are always delighted, and you did a great job today. Anything else that we should know about in just a couple seconds coming up for the first
Ellen Goodman, March 10th.
Oh, one of my favorite columnists.
Yeah.
Anybody can come? It's what is
anybody
it? Bookbeat Luncheon, a deadline?
It's a lunch on deadline, yeah.
And if you're not a member, what, $18? And if you are, $15, you get to meet Ellen Goodman. Oh, I have to do that.
Okay.
Oh, I can. I'm on the air. But maybe we'll get her in as a guest.
Okay.
John Enslin, thank you so much. I have
thanks
a lot of people to
here.
Thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson under combat conditions. I want to have thank Steve, also under combat conditions. Sean McKenzie as well. Everybody who listened today, thank you so much for doing it. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Doug Kellett is up next. I'm Enid Goldstein. I'll see you noon to 3 on KNRC Monday, as always. Let's have lunch together. You turn me on, I'll turn you on. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Try to do something generous. Have a fabulous weekend. I'm Enid Goldstein. Coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. The fabulous Friday edition of Enid coming to a close. See you on Monday.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 51 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AutoZone. A hazmat spill in Greeley has sent one worker and three firefighters to the hospital. About 15 gallons of sodium hydrosulfide monohydrate, a type of acid, spilled as it was being taken off a truck. One worker fainted from the fumes, and arriving firefighters were unaware of the acid spill. Three of them overcome by the fumes as well. The spill happened this afternoon at Florida Certec, a company that manufactures computer chips. The building was evacuated. No other injuries were reported. Crews have begun tearing down the apartment building in Glendale that was destroyed by fire nearly 2 weeks ago. Brian Shuphaw is a project manager with the Denver company handling the demolition.
Start to finish, we're shooting for about 10 days right now. The actual demolition of the building will be completed in about 3 days. And then the remainder of that will be just loading out the debris.
A spokesman for the building's owner says displaced tenants were offered housing with his other properties. Some accepted the offer, while others found alternate housing on their own. A 22-year-old resident of the apartment complex faces nearly three dozen charges, including first-degree murder in connection with the fire, which killed one woman. Police continue to search for a suspect in a triple shooting early this morning. The